It is approaching 3:30, according to the Tower of the Not-So-Friendly Mercantile. The Tuner is on America's number one source for women's clothing. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Warmest greetings, tick heads, ticket chicks, and ticks attached to various canine breeds. Time to heave-ho and fill up. I'm veteran reporter Craig Miller, a.k.a. The Junes, reporting from the Ticket Mothership, which is in a state of disrepair since we are about to move to Victory and nobody cares about this place anymore. It is the Ticket's White Elephant Christmas. And joining me on the presentation today is the sports cretin, Dick Hicks, Drong of Sturm and Drong, Dan McDowell, Ty Walker, the great beast, who will be very much in his natural porn habitat today here in exactly 1 hour, and Fernando producing. And we have Shoopy on the board. And we are set to go with the final 3.5 hours of the Ticket's White Elephant. It's been a wonderful day so far. I heard bits and pieces of the morning show, although I slept in until 7 or so, which is late.
Is that what you do on the weekend? 7?
Yeah, about 7. But can't sleep much later.
It's got to be weird for your system when we have White Elephant to sleep in on a weekday. What time do you usually get up? Weekday?
4:30. So I got a 2.5 hour bonus today. But then when I woke up, I discovered that I had nothing to do. It reminded me of the story you told once, Dan, about your cat and how your cat was always trying to get out of the house, spent its entire existence trying to get outside, just get out of the damn house. And then once it did, it froze because it didn't have a plan beyond that.
It never had step two in the plan.
Right.
And it got out 10 times in its life, but...
And then was easily caught.
Was...
Now
just
what?
Just kind of looked around like, okay, now I've done it. I patiently waited by the, you know, behind the couch, near the door for all those days. Now I'm here.
Now what?
And now what?
And that's what you did, huh?
So here
you are at 8 a.m.
I was
all day in front of you.
All excited about sleeping in. And
sure.
That's all I focused on was I get to sleep in. And then when I wake up, naturally, without an alarm, and I walk downstairs, and I've got nothing else to do until 3 o'clock when the show starts.
So what'd you do?
You know, I just kind of surfed the internet and ate a little breakfast and got in the car and drove around aimlessly.
There's only so much news you can read.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
I hate having the show looming.
I hate it.
Like, I feel like it's why I love Saturday. Saturday's the best day of the world, of the week, because there's nothing looming for tomorrow. There's
right.
No work, nothing to do. That's why if I take a day off, it's never Monday. I always take Friday off,
mm-hmm.
because then I wake up thinking it's Sunday, but then it's Saturday again. Like, Saturday is the greatest because there's nothing looming, but if you work this shift, I mean, you can't wake up at 2, you know what I mean? No matter how hard I tried today, I couldn't sleep that long.
I sleep till noon every day, so I never have that
Do
problem.
You really?
Nah, not noon. Maybe
You're up
11.
Pretty late. I'm playing.
We're playing
phone,
Words with Friends.
Phone
at
games with
3
you
in the morning. So
yeah.
I'm a night owl. So yeah, I guess 10, 11. So I don't have a lot of time to kill between then and getting up here.
See, back in the old days at my old job, I had a 3 to 11 shift, and so I'd get home after a game or something, be wound up, and I wouldn't go to bed until 4, 5, and I'd sleep till 1 or 2.
Yeah,
but.
You don't miss those days? You
seem
I
don't.
I think of all the morning show guys, you seem to have adapted the best.
I don't mind getting up early. I really don't. I mean, I would rather not, but as soon as the alarm goes off, I'm wide awake. I don't need a shower or coffee or anything like that.
You don't shower in the morning?
No, I do that at night.
Really?
So that I can sleep as late as possible.
That's very female of you.
I have to take a shower.
No.
I feel like you gain gunk when you sleep, like natural
in your bed?
Stuff. Yeah.
Not if your bed is clean.
Gunk fairy.
If you're sleeping in a dumpster, maybe. But
plus, I do it a lot.
What's it?
Lots of sex at night.
So, yeah, I couldn't wait for the show to start today because I was bored to tears.
Well, and now here we are.
Now you're here. Now you're
we got out
again.
Of the house. Now here we are.
Congratulations.
Looking around.
All right, we actually have a lot planned for you today. We've got big June Jones news that we're going to discuss in the 3:55 segment. We have Jerry Sandusky led from his house in handcuffs, which we're going to talk about at 4:15.
So June Jones wasn't led from his house?
No, that was Jerry Sandusky.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Sandusky wasn't hired to coach somewhere?
No, that was
Wouldn't
June
that
Jones.
Wouldn't that be a story?
That would be an incredible twist
of
fate.
Do you feel like if just for PR you want to be in the news? You know, any pub is good pub. If your college was to hire Jerry Sandusky right now as the head coach, do you feel that would be good?
Well, since he's in the clink, he couldn't really.
He could Skype.
Well, didn't Paterno do it from the box? I mean,
yeah.
This day of
it's a little different
cameras and
yeah.
And
he could use his one phone call to plays.
I just feel like he could be on FaceTime on
yeah.
his Mac or whatever.
There's options.
Ty's going to introduce us to a porn star at 4:35, Rachel
Starr.
You know, I thought you were trying to stop this image you're creating for yourself, no?
No. I had somebody accuse me on Twitter that I have become the Richard Hunter that I mock so much, and I said that's why I'm inexplicably right-leaning, so. 4:30, Rachel Starr.
In studio?
Yes.
Okay. Have you met her before?
I've never met her. I know the Saroy boys had her on one weekend, and that's how I got hooked up with her, and now in studio. Adult film star.
So let me ask you this, since you're our resident porn guy.
No, look at Dan, too. Dan,
but don't look at me.
Well, Dan's married, so I can't ask him this. You're single, I assume.
Yes, I am.
If Rachel Starr wanted to hook up with you, would that be a dream come true? Like, to do a porn star, would that be your ultimate, your Mount Everest?
I don't know. I think... I don't think she'll want to do that, but if she were like, hey, you want to go hang out somewhere? I can't tell you here.
But
right
would
here
you take a run if she said, let's go?
You never know. Never know.
But, or do you feel that?
Should
like,
I say, you want a yes or no? Okay, yes. I'll say yes. I would take a run at it.
Now, do you fear that
that's
you...
not a turn off that many others have...
Nah.
Do you fear that... Since she is so experienced that she would be judging you and that you would fail to perform?
That's the problem is that if you are in the midst of it and all of a sudden you realize that she is a veteran and there are guys that she's ranking you, yeah.
She would de-pants you and then she would immediately
laugh.
Compare you to the freaks of nature
yes.
that she works with.
So, yeah, now we bring that up. You know what? I might have to reevaluate the whole take a run at it because I don't know if I want to be embarrassed like
that. Long dong silver.
Yes.
Just have her do the work. You impress me. You're the pro. I'm an amateur.
I like that stance as
We're
well.
We're giving Ty advice as if this might really happen.
Yeah, no way.
You know, when you're with her. Dude.
Yeah. I don't know why you're giving me tips because there's no way in hell it's going to happen.
Does it bother
well,
you?
Well,
it
might.
Does it not bother you that she's been with so many different guys? Could you marry her ever?
I don't know about marry. Because my Christian parents, their head would explode.
Are they going to be there?
Probably.
Like they'll just be at the wedding, but after that.
I'm pretty close with my parents, so bringing Rachel or whoever over every day. And I mean, it's weird enough that they even know I do porn star birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
My dad thinks it's funny, which is funny because he's so Christian. But I can't imagine bringing a lady, a adult film star, home and say, "Hey, guess who your sister or who my your
what if
new,
she was like
my spouse is
Samantha on Bewitched and promised not to use her abilities anymore? She would quit porn for you. Scenario: she walks in the studio and becomes so enamored with you and your wit.
So would
that
that's
she far, says,
it's a long shot, but it's
wow, that's fiction.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a long
quitting
shot.
The industry." So I can be with you.
Now, is she going to completely hide this past from my parents?
Well, I mean, it's as long as your parents don't go online, everything's cool.
Well,
she's not going to walk out and say, hey, guess what I used to do? She'll never say that, but if they might catch wind of it somewhere. She quit the industry for you.
And what if the
Maybe.
Only time
she loves you,
the only time they would ever know about her background was at the rehearsal dinner when you do the video of pictures from your past oh, no. and there are about 20 or 25 of her more tasteful pictures that are displayed for everybody
from Smothered and Covered 4 or something. That might make for an awkward
yeah, so you got a little
reception.
Ty at his fourth birthday
Right.
Blown out the candles,
right.
Ty graduating, and You have
playing nice music in the background, and then here come the pictures of Rachel or whoever.
Yeah.
That would be uncomfortable.
I know. Is there any chance that she doesn't show today, or is she locked in?
She seems very excited. Okay, we have been corresponding via Twitter, via text, and she is very fired up, it seems like, but you never know.
All right, that's at 4:35, and we've got lots of other stuff for you. I'm going to be delivering e-news at 5:35. Rich will have community quick hits at 6:15. And right now at 3:40 on the ticket, we get inside the medulla of Dan McDowell.
What's on Dan's mind today? What's on Dan's mind? Everybody wants to know just what is on Dan's mind. Let's all gather around the fire and open up a bottle of wine. Cause everybody wants to know just what is on Dan's mind.
What's on Dan's mind today? What's on Dan's mind?
Sponsors?
Yes, Autoplex and Metro PCS.
Thank you, soulmate.
No problem, Nizzle.
Thank you, Cycle Sister.
No problem.
Gross.
All right, I think today I would just like to have an open discussion, and I think, Ty, you... See, I had two topics. Ideas. One was going to be Igor Olshansky's pot arrest, apparently in Miami. He was rolling up some dubage in his house when a nearby disturbance had the police in his neighborhood, and then somehow they just saw him rolling up a marijuana cigarette at his own kitchen table, and the police kind of knocked on the door and arrested him. And that was one topic. My other topic...
I don't know how that topic can be beaten, by the way.
The Igor Olshansky topic? Why are you laughing?
No, I just want to hear the other topic, because I just don't think that can be topped.
Really? The other topic is kind of a more broad topic that I wanted to... use with everybody in here, because everybody in here seems to have a little bit of a different take on this, is social media. Maybe focusing on Twitter, but I'll also entertain Facebook talk, because we're all on social media, and there's something that within us we almost think, well, we need to be, because... if we don't, others might be ahead of us in this game. You know, this ratings game we're all worried about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know how... this social media thing, it's like one big... everybody deals with it different. I think you tend to do yours... I'm pointing at Craig... yours tends to be show-related or things that will never fit on your show, but you want the Craig Miller fan base to know that you're on top of. Do you follow that? Like, I might
get... I don't know that I completely agree with that. I think I try to offer a potpourri of thoughts and tweets, all different areas of the world. I really don't know what I'm saying, but
it's something.
I don't think it's all. I do get accused that it's always a show promo.
But you do a lot of show promo.
But if you look at my last, okay.
Now, see, I don't see it that way. You do cycling stuff. You do uniform stuff.
And that's where I'm going with the uniform stuff. Perhaps might be something. Oh, I couldn't fit this on the show, but I'm known for this, or this is funny, and I don't feel like. I don't feel ever desperation out of a junior tweet, whereas I read a lot of tweets that are desperate for look at me,
yeah,
or it's like everybody is now on a reality show,
yeah,
and everybody assumes that oh, if you've signed up for me, you need to know that I'm. I just got back from working out. Some people are just tweet to, and Bob does this. Bob and Sean will be doing this a lot of the, wow.
One word so, that you don't know what they're talking about.
If I was watching what you were watching, and it says 7 hours ago on this, so I got to figure out, okay, what, were you watching a soccer game, or, like, it works, I guess, if I'm watching it at the same time as you, but otherwise, it's now just more on this thing I've got to sift through, because I kind of use it as a tool of content, you know what I mean? Like, I learned some Major League Baseball news or Stars news or things like that. But then also in there, I also realized that a guy like Ty subscribes to something, a service which will tell him the second that I unfollow him.
Yeah.
So I unfollowed him one day because I thought, you know what, Ty's just thrown out nonsensical stuff.
And they immediately told me, and I texted him like, why'd you unfollow me?
He texted me right away, so now I feel like this pressure on Ty or guys around here I like Phil Brown or Kevin or Krennic. I feel like, well, if I don't follow them, then it might indicate I'm not a fan of theirs, where that's not true. But, so I, like, socially, I want to know, okay.
How many people do you follow?
Probably 20 or 30. I guess I could look at it right now on the phone.
Okay, see, I follow about 125. And I find that I'm close to the limit. I don't see how Bob follows 600 people.
Groups follows everybody that follows him.
Then if you follow everybody, then you really follow nobody. It means you don't read that stuff.
And yet, that's got to be like a great guy.
Because Bob, though, is always looking at it.
But you're getting updates constantly. Like, say Bob. Okay, Bob follows 600 people. Let's say he follows Shaquille O'Neal. Well, Shaquille O'Neal posts something. That post disappears in 30 seconds because 50 other people have now bumped it down. How does Bob possibly see tweets from everybody that he follows? I have enough trouble keeping up with 125 people, and I would think maybe 150 or 200 would be the absolute limit.
So do you just check it out at certain times, or are you always looking at your phone?
No. You know, I'm pretty addicted to it. I would say I probably check it during the show all the time and at home. Every couple of hours, I guess. Or, you know, whenever I'm online. But can I give you my theory behind tweeting?
Yeah.
Because I've been accused of, oh, you just use your Twitter feed for show promos. I just went back and looked at my recent posts. I haven't promoted anything on our show since November 28th. So I don't often use it as a show promo vehicle. I like to, because I think it's a good way to promo what we've got coming up. So I'm not against that. But in general, I don't like to beat people down with too many tweets.
Because, I don't think you do.
Yeah, and I like to maybe...
I'm talking to him, Ty.
I like to maybe tweet once or twice a day.
No, you're good about it. You wait until something really hits you, and then you tweet. I'm bad about it. I tweet all the time.
You do tweet a lot. Now, do you find that that's a necessary extension of your personality, or are you obsessive-compulsive about it?
I think I'm a little obsessive-compulsive about it. I don't know if I just feel like it's just an extension of... I don't feel like I get to say what I want to on the air, so I feel like I'm going to say it once I'm at home eating a Subway sandwich. It's time to break out the joke series or something.
Shut up, Ty!
See, there you go. So, yeah, I'm probably a little obsessive-compulsive about it.
Let's talk to one of the kings of Twitter about this topic.
Okay.
And his theory.
Yes, thank you.
He knew.
I usually enjoy Groobs' retweets. And obviously you use it as a vehicle to prove that you're a big Ranger fan, right?
Yeah, that's generally what I use it for, and then otherwise just comedy, and I do tend to retweet a lot. Like, I'll go back and look, and I don't realize how much I retweet sometimes.
I like that you had a read series that you...
Yeah?
That you retweet, but...
Had some ale at medieval times. Oh, you had a mead?
Like, what, 5 years ago this didn't exist, or nobody was on it, right?
Right.
So what does this turn into in 5 years?
Turn into MySpace.
Like, yeah, Twitter becomes MySpace
just
at some point.
As you look at the changing mediums that we're at the forefront of, you look back at, you know, when radio was all there was and then they switched over to television. Well, it turned out that most of the stars of radio of the day became the next stars of television, right? Like, Jack Benny had a big radio show. Well, now he's got a TV show. Is the same thing happening then with Twitter? Like, everybody can be on it, though. Not like everybody could have a TV show.
Yeah, Twitter's pretty unique.
Is it the same thing, though, where the main entertainers of the other mediums, which is newspapers and radio and TV, are becoming the main leaders of Twitter as well?
In some cases. I think the biggest Twitter accounts are entertainers, musicians. Yep. If you look at the top 25, 15 of them are Shakira and Britney and
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
And it's their reality show now.
But don't you...
Now we're always tuned in to what they're doing.
Don't you guys find yourself following as many different baseball, basketball, football, hockey reporters as you can, just so you...
Yes, reporters. Yeah. But I think Newberg's great.
They're like moving Newberg, from newspaper to Twitter now.
Yes.
Or their website to Twitter, because Twitter's more immediate than their website.
I like to follow those, though, that have legitimate websites they write for, because then I don't have to sift through everything on their website to find that story I care about.
Mm-hmm. It's weird, though, with everything becoming more fragmented. Like I say with Groobs, he has the more followers really means the less he actually cares about them. He doesn't...
Right.
When he follows everyone, he doesn't read you.
Oh, Lord, no. I just checked the mentions.
But with everything fragmented, is it harder to find... I don't know. It seems great there's an MLB network and an NHL network and an NFL network and an NBA network. But then, now do I have to watch four shows every night to get my news?
Is there something
I used to be able to watch one?
Is there something that's trying to compete now with Twitter from Google?
Is there?
Google Plus. I don't think that's really gotten off the ground, though. Like, it's been online since about July or so, and I haven't heard a thing of anyone doing it.
Twitter's really cool and really unique, and it's got staying power, but you're right. At some point, it'll be replaced by something. And I don't know if that's 2 years or 10 years.
I've already noticed it's replaced email.
Yeah, kind of has. It's,
I don't stare at it all show like you do. But later on, I check it. And just reaction on stuff that we do is 10 to 1 now. People will just Twitter a comment or... Mm-hmm. Twitter a link or something that has to do with what we're talking about to help us out or whatever. There'll be a ton of Twitter and then one or two emails at night about that same topic. Yep. You know?
It's a good topic, Dan, and I'm glad you went that route instead of Igor Olshansky getting busted for rolling a joint on his kitchen table. It's a good choice.
Thanks.
I like that story, too.
That's What's on Dan's Mind. It's 3:52 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Coming up next, the June Jones to Arizona State story keeps changing by the second. And it's approaching 4 o'clock here on The Ticket. Coming up at 4:15, the latest, the Jerry Sandusky case. He was taken from his house today in handcuffs. We have some more seedy details. Two new victims come forward. That's at 4:15. And at 4:35, Ty Walker introduces us to porn star Rachel Starr in studio. It's going to be very exciting. All right, we're going to talk some college football now. And our very own Rich Phillips joins us for this segment to discuss the June Jones situation. Earlier today, reports surfaced that June Jones had accepted the head coaching position at Arizona State. But just in the last 20 minutes or so, the Arizona State sports website reports that he is not their new head coach. So does that mean that he is definitely not going, or does that mean that they are still agreeing to terms? What do you think?
I think there's a lot of public backlash out there.
They don't like June?
All week, a couple of Arizona State message boards that I've seen has had about 2% good things to say about him.
Why is that?
Yeah, what's the bad thing?
I don't know. That's what I can't figure out. The fans out there, though... We're not excited at all.
Really?
About this. No.
This is such an upgrade from Erickson.
They have a mess of their athletic department anyway. I think they've got athletic director Flux there. But yeah, I saw nothing but backlash from fans. Now it's a message board with fans, so take it for what it's worth. But I was shocked when I saw the reaction that people had to that.
Do they think that he's too much of a, I don't know, mad scientist type coach, and do they want somebody more basic?
They really didn't. I didn't delve that deeply into it, but I didn't read a whole lot telling me what exactly it was they were looking for. I don't think they have a problem at Washington State with Mike Leach, and he's a mad scientist,
right,
isn't he? I think they're excited there that they got Mike Leach. But
do they not like his name, June?
I think we can all get over that, can't we?
And if they hired him and he won, they would love him, right?
That's what I would think.
And I would think he's got a pretty good track record.
I think so.
I would think he could win I don't know.
He came to one of the all-time reclamation projects, SMU, mm-hmm. and got them in 2 years to a bowl game.
You know, that website that's reporting that, ASUDevils.com, is pretty definitive. They say he will not be the next mm-hmm. ASU coach.
So now this makes it a sticky situation over on the Hilltop, doesn't it? And this is 2 years in a row, first off, that he has talked with other schools. Last year it was Maryland, and it was reported to be another school that was not confirmed which school it was. And now, I mean, it went so far as throughout most of the day today, it has said that there have been many numerous websites that have reported, legitimate ones, saying that he's the guy at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what? I mean, he's got to come back, right?
Is he?
It's his job, and I don't know of any other schools that have been talking to him yet.
Does he have many years left
on
his deal?
Yeah, he initially signed a 5-year deal, and it's been extended either 2 or 3 more years beyond that, and he's in year 4. So, yeah, he's still got several years to go.
And is he unhappy there? I mean, but because of the lack of attendance, and he's really put this thing kind of back on the map, and nobody's jumping on board?
I tell you, I know he was very displeased with attendance, especially when you looked at the last game of the season. There was 12,000 people out there for, now it's Thanksgiving weekend, none of the students are there, but you know what? There's only about 7,000 students anyway, mm-hmm. and a few thousand of them turn out every game. That wasn't the whole difference. He's not been happy with the attendance. Nobody's happy with the attendance over there, though. And then they're still, while they have made a lot of inroads into academics, as far as ways that they're able to get athletes into school there academically that weren't available when he first got there, there's still a lot of battles that go on when it comes to, especially something that's still a huge sticking point and has been a problem and probably will still continue to be a problem for quite some time, is getting junior college transfers to come in, because there's a lot of classes that a kid takes at a junior college that there's not something similar to it offered at SMU, because they don't have that degree plan, and so they won't accept those hours. And so guys academically should be a junior, but they can't get into school at SMU. They're qualified to get into to many other schools, but not there because of their policy. And I know that's something that's been a clash since he got there, and it's gotten better in some respects, but not as good as he wants it to be, I don't think.
How does everybody at SMU feel about the Big East?
I think certainly it's viewed as a step forward. It's a league that, at least for right now, has AQ status for a BCS game. In a couple of years when they redo that, that certainly is up for debate. I think, though, it's a step forward. And as you know, I talked to Steve Orsini about this, the athletic director, about a month and a half ago. And he said the good news is that in the middle of October, they had leagues calling them to talk to them. In August, nobody was calling them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he put out, remember, when Texas A&M was going to the SEC, Orsini's the one who stepped out and said, hey, we want to join the Big 12. He's the one who put the story out there first, because nobody was contacting SMU about joining their league. And that has changed throughout the course of just the last few months because of so much shakeup going on.
All right, I've got a problem with the new Big East. They're adding, for football, Houston, Central Florida, SMU, Boise, and San Diego State.
You got it.
They have got
That's
to change.
On the east side of San
they
Diego,
have got to
it?
Change their name.
Look, the Big Ten has not changed its name, and the Big 12 have not changed. It has not changed its name. They're not 10 or 12 anymore.
Yeah, but conferences have changed their names in the past. It used to be the Pac-8, and now it's the Pac-12.
Sure,
and they'll probably adjust, and they need an all-encompassing name.
Yeah.
They should be Conference USA.
There's this, they kind of are. There's this one league, mainly a basketball league, called the Great West, mm-hmm. and it is neither great nor west, because it includes teams such as Houston Baptist and the New Jersey Institute for Technology. New Jersey.
Wow.
In the Great West. So they don't always line up geographically that way.
So SMU is joining for all sports.
Houston, SMU, and Central Florida are going to leave Conference USA completely and go all sports there. Boise and San Diego State are going to... Boise's going to have all their other sports in the WAC, I believe, and San Diego State in the Big West, I believe.
And
I have a feeling that from those schools is about travel dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think of how much it costs to send your basketball or softball or volleyball teams all across to the east from San Diego.
And it's not next season, or no, it'll be 2013, right?
Yeah, that's the part that really sucks, is I got to go a lame duck year in Conference USA. And the conference office is here in the Metroplex.
Oh, it is?
It's in Irving. Yeah, that'll be fun. I know a lot of those people over there. It's going to be a fun year.
Hey, can I ask you guys a June Jones question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think most people in the college football community view him as a really good coach or a gimmick coach?
I think they probably look at him like they look at Mike Leach, and I think it's the answer is both. I think they see him as a gimmick coach, no doubt about it, but I also think they see him as a really good coach who can win.
I thought he was way more of a gimmick coach when he got here than I do now, and it's because, you know, I've worked there for 11 years, and he's the third head coach I've worked with, but the most important thing is I've seen more change within the athletic department as a whole, and the football team specifically with him there, than with any other change that's gone on there. That includes a change of ADs that they had that happened before June was hired. They have totally, you know, first off, they've revamped marketing. They've revamped with the way they do their recruiting. He totally has put his mark on the football team. Their coaching staff is unlike any football coaching staff you would have ever seen. You're used to going out to a football practice and there's a bunch of dog cussing going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that at their practices. There's some, a little bit, but they're all laid-back guys and more focused on teaching and showing these guys what they're not doing right than chewing them out for what they're not doing right. And it's created a totally different atmosphere within the football team. But there's, you know, anything that he wants, he gets done. Do you know he had new lights installed in the middle of this football season at the stadium?
Because he didn't like the glare of the old lights?
They're in the corners of the stadium, which I know Oklahoma used to be like this. I don't know if it still is. And he hated it because there were two games in September that were night games in which we had multiple passes dropped that he said were because of the lights.
Do you remember I went to the SMU-TCU game at Ford last year, and that was my chief complaint was sitting in the stands, I was blinded by the lights.
So after...
I think that's a song.
They were too low.
Well, and that they're right in the corners, though, too. So when a receiver turns to look back, he's looking right at him. Mm-hmm. So in October, I got an email from somebody that said that, hey, are there new lights in there? And I went over there later that week, and I'll be damned if on the sidelines on each side of the stadium they didn't have some temporary lights installed that were used for the rest of the season.
Then they won't have any problem keeping him if he's done all those good things.
But, I mean, that's, you know, he's really transformed a lot of things over there. So I thought he was much more of a gimmick coach than I do now, because it's hard to argue when you go to a place that's been so downtrodden like they were, and he tore it down even more his first year because he went 1-11 also his first year. But they, you know, have a winning record. They were 7-7 last year, but they have a winning record this year. They had a winning record 3 years ago and had been to bowl games and competing for their conference championship.
Well, it looks like he's staying for the time being, at least.
All right.
Those are the latest reports.
Congrats, Rich.
Yeah, we'll see how uncomfortable the pregame interview is before the BBVA Compass Bowl next month. That's the quarterfinals, right? It's a couple of games right before the championship. It's the quarterfinals.
Right. They'll just say right. Sure. We have other college coaching news today. Jerry Sandusky led from his home in handcuffs this morning. We'll tell you why. And Ty, can we get you to read part of the deposition? Could you read?
Sure.
Play the role of victim 9 and victim 10?
Absolutely.
That's coming up next on The Ticket. We don't get return music?
I thought Ty had music.
What a terrible production.
I know, right?
Great failure by Ty. Wow.
Sorry,
really?
Sorry. I was reading my lines.
All right, 421 here on The Ticket.
Sorry, groups.
Porn star Rachel Starr joins us in studio, coming up here in about 15 minutes. She just had a nice surprise for Dan McDowell during his Ticket Ticker.
I got to see a little bit, too.
Ty is very excited about having Rachel in studio. He is so nervous talking to her out there.
So nervous.
This is going to be wonderful coming up at 435.
He's glad to be sitting down right now.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to the latest Jerry Sandusky news, shall we? He faces new charges now. Victims 9 and 10 have come forward, and according to grand jury documents, he abused them on multiple occasions. And so Jerry Sandusky was taken away by police today, handcuffed in his home, and taken to jail. He was unable to post a $250,000 bond this morning, so he is sitting in the clink right now. And his future is very iffy at this point as more and more victims continue to come forward.
Now, is this his first time to jail in this mess?
Yeah, because the first time he may have been immediately released.
Yeah, because they had the shot of him in cuffs getting stuck in the car.
Yeah,
his car.
So he
but
may
he
have
was
been
released
there
on his own recognizance or something the first time.
Yeah,
whatever
because
the heck. What is recognizance, by the way?
There was a judge who was a member of the Second Mile charity.
Oh.
And so she mysteriously let him go, and he didn't have to post any bond, I don't believe, and was released. You know,
on his own recognizance.
Yeah.
Defined.
Well, this time he was not released on his own recognizance. He is still in prison, and we have the latest grand jury report that details the claims from victims 9 and 10. Now, it's fairly graphic. We want to warn you, if you have kids in the car, you may want to ride the volume knob just a little bit.
Yes.
And I was uncomfortable reading some of this stuff, so our very own Ty Walker has volunteered to read some of the highlights or lowlights from the latest grand jury report. Ty?
All right. Victim 9 testified that during his second summer attending Second Mile camps, he met Sandusky while participating in a pool activity. At the time of this initial contact, Victim 9 would have been 11 or 12 years old. Victim 9 testified that Sandusky was a very affectionate person. Victim 9 testified that during his overnight visits with Sandusky, he always stayed in a bedroom located in the basement of the Sandusky home. Victim 9 testified that Sandusky specifically told him to stay in the basement unless otherwise directed by Sandusky. Victim 9 described a pattern of sexual assaults by Sandusky over a period of years. Many of these assaults occurred in the basement bedroom of Sandusky's residence. The victim testified Sandusky forced him to perform OS on numerous occasions. Sandusky also attempted to engage in penetration of Victim 9 on at least 16 occasions and at times did penetrate him. Sandusky frequently told him that he loved and cared for him. He also told the victim to keep these things a secret. Victim 10 described that Sandusky would wrestle with him, and eventually, during one of those wrestling sessions, Sandusky pulled the boy's gym shorts down and performed OS on him. He testified that Sandusky repeated this behavior on several subsequent occasions, wrestling with him in the basement, then performing OS on him. Victim 10 described how Sandusky indecently touched him in the outdoor pool on campus. Sandusky would swim underneath Victim 10 and put Victim 10 up on his shoulders. Oh, my God. While doing this, Sandusky would slide his hands up underneath Victim 10's swimming suit, touching his genitals before picking him up. This happened several times. Victim 10 says that the relationship ended after an incident in Sandusky's vehicle. Sandusky was driving his car. Victim 10 was his front seat passenger. Sandusky opened his pants, exposing his greenness, and indicated that he wanted Victim 10 to perform OS on him. Victim 10 refused. And Sandusky was displeased with his refusal. Victim 10 testified that after that, he told his foster mother he did not wish to spend any more time with Sandusky. And scene.
All right, so that's 10 victims.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for handling that delicate material, Ty.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's 10 victims who've come forward.
So nice of you to volunteer for that.
Mm-hmm.
How many more, and by the way, of the 10 victims that have come forward, they've almost all testified that there were multiple incidents. You know, Victim 9, I believe 16 different occasions. And so we know of 10 victims and 100, I guess, occasions or incidents. How many more possibly are out there?
That's the first thing I was thinking as he was reading all those very uncomfortable descriptions. 60, 100.
Yeah, because these are the only ones we've heard. Like you said, these are the only ones we've heard of. There's no telling how many people that are embarrassed or nervous or just are trying to repress that memory and don't want to dredge it back up.
And Sandusky's 59 years old, not 29, so he's had a long time as an adult.
And he had that same job there for 30 years or something.
Right.
So he's had that opportunity to be in that position of power that long. That's scary.
It is scary. So when you see Sandusky interviewed, and he's done a couple of interviews now, and he seems convinced, or at least is trying to convince us, that there was nothing wrong with what he was doing. Do you think he really believes that? Or do you think he's so warped that he really believes that? Or do you think he knows we all know and it's really obvious now and he's just trying to save a little face?
I think he's done it for so long that he has validated it in his mind for so many years that I actually believe he's twisted enough to believe that, yeah, you know, this isn't a bad thing.
He's gotten away with it for so long.
Yeah.
That nobody even knew about it, so he's probably deluded himself into believing nobody's going to find out about this, what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Even though everybody is confronting him with what's really happened, or what reportedly, allegedly has happened.
So he's going to do some hard time, right?
He's got to.
There's
no way
he gets out of this with all of these people coming forward. Even though they may not have any evidence, they've got testimony from so many people, right?
The one question is, none of this is beyond statute of limitations, is it?
I don't believe so. With the Bernie Fine stuff, I believe it is.
Yes.
In a lot of those cases, there may be a couple of cases where it's not, but in most of those cases, there's one case in the state of Pennsylvania. Maybe that was the Pittsburgh road trip where Bernie Fine assaulted the ball boy. Hate to use that term in this story, but that's what he was. And I read this morning that maybe the statute of limitations has not run out on that case in that state. So he could be tried just like Sandusky in Pennsylvania.
Are we kind of surprised? I know a lot of people, I'm listening to the Hardline talk about this, and Danny and Corby both basically predicted that Sandusky, they couldn't imagine a guy living with this now that it's coming out.
I thought he'd kill himself.
Yes, I'm stunned that we have not gotten a story saying that he's killed himself.
Maybe
that's part of the legitimization in his brain that he doesn't think he's done anything wrong.
Or his lawyer is telling him, look, there's no evidence. It's just they said, you said. There are no pictures. There's no DNA or anything like that. So I can get you. I can make the case go away. That's maybe what he's telling him. And he believes it.
I wonder, has anything come of that Bear County story? Remember that one?
Yeah, one from the Alamo Bowl?
Yeah, they were investigating whether charges should be filed down there for some kid that he brought along on the trip to the Alamo Bowl one year.
I haven't seen a follow-up on that, but yeah, that's one of those that's out there, too. Mm.
P1 Julia has a good point. She said, did anybody else notice that Sandusky was wearing a Penn State jacket as he was being led away in handcuffs today?
It was noted immediately in the story that I read that he had a Penn State jacket and pants on, I think, too.
I bet the administration wishes he had burned that outfit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you both for handling the very delicate material in a mature manner.
A lot more mature than Gordo would have.
Yes, Ty, thank you for reading.
Glad to
probably handled a lot
stuff.
More maturely than the next segment will be, too, by at least one member of the crew.
Ty, would you like to do the tease for this next segment?
Coming up next on White Elephant Day, we are joined in studio by adult film star, DFW's own Rachel Starr. Next on The Ticket.
It's 4:40 on The Ticket, coming up here in about 15 minutes. Rich and Ty and Dan and the crew here on The Ticket's White Elephant Christmas are going to discuss a sports topic.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, Ty Walker has orchestrated this very special in-studio guest. Ty, would you like to introduce our next guest?
Absolutely. Well, for some reason, I've been slotted as the Pope of Porn up here. I'm not sure why. Huh. I'm not sure how.
I don't know why.
I got slotted this because Dan is as big a fan of porn as I am, but I'm the Pope of Porn, so our interview today in studio, I know the Soroy boys had her on a couple of months ago on their Cirque du Soroy show on Saturday or Sunday, whenever. Well, we got her in studio. It is DFW's own adult film star, Rachel Starr. Rachel.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
Somebody tells me you're Burleson's own, huh?
I am,
How about that?
Did you know Kelly Clarkson?
I did.
Did you hate her?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you go to high school with her or something?
Yeah. I was a freshman. I think she was a junior.
Do you know John Hampton?
No.
Okay. Check.
That would be funny. Now, Rachel, you just had a birthday in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Turned 28.
Yep.
28. Cause,
was she on Pornstar Birthday?
Yeah, she was. It was actually on a Saturday, I think, your birthday
That's
was. And
right.
I read it on Friday. Such classic films as Smothered and Covered 4. Big Slippery White Butts 3 and Destination Tonsils 2.
Good. There you go.
Now, okay, the first question is, do you ever see these titles, or you hear that this is what the movie you're in is going to be titled? Do you go to them and go, why are we calling it that? Couldn't we go with something a little more classy or just normal?
I mean, is porn really classy?
Well, that's a good point. As a good counterpoint. Good counterpoint. All right. Well, so.
Can you tell how nervous Ty is?
I'm very nervous.
You?
I can.
He has a script in front of himself.
Well, I mean, look, I did research. Look at the research on the front. It's got a picture of her completely nud. This is not normal research here.
When he met you out there a couple of breaks ago, he was very nervous, wasn't he?
I could tell it a little bit, but he was really good at hiding it.
Oh, was he?
He was, but I could tell.
I am.
Just a little bit.
Very good at hiding it with the ladies. Take that
It's
word.
There somewhere, ladies. Seriously, you can find it.
All right. In doing my extensive research on you, Rachel.
I'm just nervous.
Shut up, Dan. I see that you got your start in the adult industry in 07. You had previously worked at a life insurance company. Is that correct?
Whoa. Oh, my God. How in the world did you find that out?
See, he's creepy,
it's
too.
The stalker.
Is he creepy?
It's the internet. They Ty know
stalker.
All.
Oh, my God. I'd be interested
chicken.
To know how you found that out.
According to the site Persian Kitty, they had that information.
Really?
You are
how do you
creep.
Make the switch from life insurance to the porn world?
Well, actually, I did a number of things in between that.
So it wasn't a great
it was
from
a big
life insurance to porn.
No, it didn't happen that way exactly.
So how did it happen? How did you get your first porn gig?
Well, I was a stripper for 5.5 years, and
Gateway.
I was dancing in Dallas, and it was just crap in Dallas. Like the strip clubs here, Laura Miller just really screwed us. You know, it was just horrible. And
would you like some more info that I know on you? That in 2007, you were stripping at the Deja Vu Hustler Club in Shreveport.
That's right. That's where I got found.
That's where adult film star Jack Venice saw you dance and convinced you to travel to California to try your hand in film.
That is right.
So.
What do you get paid per movie?
Oh, I never
like that
discussed
first
that.
One.
Really?
We'll say that first one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I never discussed that.
So
okay,
the transition,
well, now you're being interviewed.
Can you
now
ballpark
you're on the radio
it,
being interviewed.
It for
yes.
Us.
No, I
the first one.
$5, $100, $5,000,
$10,000. Let's say the first film you were in.
The first one.
Very first film. What can you tell us what they paid you there?
No.
The very first film.
$1,500.
No.
Oh.
Okay, first tell us how you found your way into that first film. So you're stripping.
Right, I'm stripping, and Jack Venice saw me on main stage. I had no idea who he was, some little punk kid. And he, kept following me around the strip club, you know, telling he wanted to talk to me, you know. And he screamed out when I was on main stage, like, that girl's is going to make money in porn, you know. And I'm like, awkward,
that.
You know. Anyways, this guy keeps following me around, and I'm like, look, like, I don't talk to anybody, like, under 35, okay? You have no money, and you're wasting my time. So unless you want to, throw some money out, unless you want to throw some money out right now, like, to talk to me, like, not even lap dances, just to talk, like, I'm not going to talk to you. So he's like, you know what? I like your style. I respect that. So he pulls out, like, $60. I'm like, that's 3 songs, dude. And he's like, all right. He was like, I guess I'm going to talk really fast. And he, gave me this whole spiel. I didn't believe him at all. But my girlfriend thought he was totally hot. And she was like, you have to take one for the team. And I'm like, I'm not taking anything for the team. Like, this guy is a douche, you know? And she's like, oh, my God, we just have to go to breakfast with him, whatever. Anyway, she totally talks me into it. And we get to, what were we at? IHOP, I think. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, the strip clubs don't close till 6 o'clock in the morning. And we're at IHOP, and he busts out, all of this evidence that he really is who he says he is. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, wow, he wasn't joking around. This
how do you
guy
bust
is the real
out
deal.
What evidence?
I mean, he had DVD titles.
Oh,
he
okay.
had pulled out internet, all kinds of
big
stuff.
Big portfolio.
Yeah, I was just like, whoa. He worked for.
Is he a producer or he's in? He's like an actor.
Both. Well, he was a director and an actor, kind of, sort of.
Right.
He was more actor than he was director, but he did direct a little bit for Shane's World.
Well, I saw that with Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
No, that's Wayne's World.
So, okay, again, this is Rachel Starr, adult film star, with us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
How about the first one? The first one you were in? The first porn. Or is there a trial, I know my...
Screen test.
From Boogie
Casting
Nights.
Couch.
In Boogie Nights, you had to have sex right next to the porn producer on his couch.
Yeah, no.
To show him
that
you're not against it.
That wasn't exactly how it went down.
Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Pieces of it. I haven't watched the whole thing through and through. But, I mean, that's not really how it worked out. The first scene that I ever did was for Naughty America. And it was, I think it was my sister's hot friend or something like that.
Yeah. Naughty Office?
No, it wasn't that. I think it was my sister's hot friend.
Naughty Schoolgirls? Was it my sister's hot friend 9 or my sister's hot friend 10?
There's no telling.
I see you in both of those.
I was in both of those. I don't know
as
which
well
one
as my dad's hot girlfriend 4.
Yeah, I was in that one for sure.
Now, okay, so when you...
Okay, so, yeah, what was that scene
like?
Yeah,
you like do the
though?
First... I mean,
are
how
you
nervous? You had to be nervous.
You know, I was nervous when I was in makeup and hair. And because, I didn't know what to expect. And, like, all I can hear are these people, like, screwing in the room next to me. And I'm just kind of like... It was just so, like...
Had you ever videoed before, like, you and a boyfriend or something?
No.
Oh, okay, so first time on camera.
The people doing it in the room next to you, were they being... Was it a videoed? Was
scene?
It, or
right.
Was that in somebody's dressing room?
No.
It was a scene.
No, it was a scene, and it was really loud, and it was really obnoxious, and I'm just sitting here thinking, like, is this really happening? Like, I'm really doing this right now.
Does anyone ever jump in and cut and say, look, Rachel, you gotta, let's get a little more into
it. Yeah, how
here.
Awkward is that when the director comes in and says, you're not selling it.
I could use a director in my house.
I've never personally had that to me, because when I bring it, I bring it,
yeah.
But... I mean, I've definitely seen it done.
One take, yeah. Rachel?
Good to hear.
A lot of the times, but I mean, a lot of times they have to cut and, you know, lighting and shadows and, you know, there's some sound going on in the background and a plane's flying over the house and, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
It's not as easy as everybody thinks.
No, I mean, most people have the idea that it takes like a couple hours. And I mean, realistically, when I first started, you know, we could bang out one in like 4 or 5 hours.
So to speak.
Yeah.
5 hours? Okay, what would you say, ballpark, you made an hour?
You really want to know this
Dan
answer?
Yeah. Why is the adult film industry? I mean, we get to know what Brad Pitt makes for each movie. Why do we have to hide what Rachel Starr makes?
Because I just don't want to tell anybody.
Do you make a very comfortable living?
Extremely comfortable.
Extremely comfortable.
Six figures.
There you go.
Six figures.
Seven
about,
figures.
About
seven?
How many titles a year are you in?
Ty.
I don't know.
It would honestly
depend on the year. Like, my first year, I did over 100 movies in 8 months.
Are you choosy about which scripts you take? Or
not the first year, I wasn't. The first year, you can't be choosy. Like, you have to just, like, take what's pretty much given to you. And then, after you get some under your belt, you can be picky and be like, okay, I don't want to do this.
Any
do that, or
any restrictions?
Any
no,
what?
No black guys?
Wow, you're just throwing them at me today, aren't you?
It's an interview. Any restrictions? Do you say no? I won't.
Yeah,
go,
I mean,
no back door. We just
there's definitely restrictions. I mean, everything is like really, really business. So
do you
I,
have any?
Yeah, I mean, I have.
What
some,
are your like, restrictions?
What would you not do on camera?
It really depends on the price. You know, like I'm all
about
the price.
Okay, then there is. Then you don't have restrictions.
So when you're choosy, is it only based on price, or is it sometimes based on who you're working with?
Well, there's a couple of things.
We don't
it's
like
not
the
just
plot.
Price. Like, okay, say I
this isn't realistic.
No, listen. Say I let everything out of the gates my first year. Well, I don't have anything to shoot for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So say even if I want to do it, I need to wait. You
need
know
to
what
have
mean?
Rachel Starr's first blank scene, right?
My first
you,
what?
You, well, you need to be
whatever
able to promote.
You haven't done.
Oh, right.
Next
yeah.
year, say, hey, this is her first DP.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
what does
I
that
stand
for?
I haven't done that one yet.
Oh, you haven't done that.
I haven't. No.
But you say so you're not against it, right?
I'm sorry?
Is that going to happen in 2012?
You're not against it.
No, it won't happen in 2012. I can tell you that much.
13.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Tell us you can't say that.
Groups had to drop that word. We
just
can't
say,
use that word.
Your first...
The back door.
Okay,
my
the
first,
bad place.
My first back door scene. Okay? The first back door scene didn't happen until last year. It was released in September. That's the first and only one I've ever done.
Only one, huh?
Yeah, it's I can't say the title either.
Do you need to
I'm
see?
Really
do you need to see who you're gonna? If you're doing that kind of scene, do you need to see who you're gonna work with?
Oh,
to
yeah.
make sure it's kind of tiny.
Oh, well, I don't know about tiny.
It can't be Akeem Olajuwon, right?
No, I mean, like, come on, like if people have waited like 4 or 5 years to see me do that, like the last thing. You know?
I don't think you need to
Ty.
Dump
Ty
that.
Wishes he was that disgraceful.
Boy, do I.
Hey, I'll tell you what. We're
going to carry it over.
This is a radio term. We're up against it. So what we're going to do is take a break here.
Okay.
And then we've got many more questions for you if you can stay for one more segment.
Let's do it.
All right. Porn star Rachel Starr with us. Continued next on The Ticket.
It is 4:59 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Hello, it is White Elephant Day. I'm Rich Phillips. We're having a line change here, even while we're carrying over the guest, Rachel Starr, Ty Walker's porn star, love? I don't know. Porn star brought into studio for us. She is staying with us. We're doing a line change. Craig is now going to be the yuck monkey for the next hour. And coming up at 5:15, by the way, or 5:30, we're going to get to E! News. And Craig and I both have a eulogy that we must deliver.
Boy, very, very sad.
Terrible start to the day, wasn't it? Dan McDowell should be joining us here in studio in just a moment. And I gave him some instructions on behalf of Rachel, so hopefully he will adhere to those. But we do have Rachel Starr, Burleson's own Rachel Starr, who is joining us here. All right, we were talking during the last segment. You mentioned about how you used to be dancing here in Dallas, and that's kind of how you got into this whole thing.
Right.
And I was intrigued when you said Laura Miller screwed all that up for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was trying to do a good thing by trying to get a lot of the girls off Harry Hines. But unfortunately, a lot of the things that she did, it made it really hard on the dancers inside the strip club. Because, I mean, she made it so hard to accept a tip off of somebody off stage. I mean, it was like, if you didn't do it this certain exact way, if they, like, you know, put a dollar in your G-string and they, you know, pulled out your thong and put it there for you, or if they put it in between your boobs, it was solicitation of prostitution. Like, girls were getting popped left and right for felonies all day long, and it was like, come on, you know?
But only the girls were, not the guys?
Yeah, the guys wouldn't get in trouble, only the girls.
And that kind of spoils all the fun when you can't do that, right, Craig?
I don't know what you're talking about. So when you leave the world of stripping, you get into the world of porn. Mm-hmm. How do your parents react to that? Or I don't know if you have siblings. How did they react to that? Your grandparents, if they're still with us?
Big ticket fans, right?
Yeah, they are. Honestly,
are they listening?
Yeah, I'm sure.
How'd you break the news to them?
I was just honest with them. Like, you know, I've always been somebody that's, like, super independent. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot anybody's going to tell me that I can't do this and I can't do that. I pretty much just do what I want to do. But I'm just really lucky because I have, you know, a family support system that loves me unconditionally, and they've never judged me. I'm not going to say it's, like, their ideal profession that they want me to, like, be doing. I'm sure that they would love if I had, like, you know, something else, or I was working in a office.
Life
or
insurance,
something.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, this is what I do, and I like it, and it's taken me around the world, and I've learned amazing things. And, you know, honestly, it's like a stepping stone. I mean, is this something that I'm going to do for 20 years? Absolutely not. I mean, come on. But, I mean, I'm young. I'm having fun. I make really good money.
How much exactly?
She can't talk about that.
I make six figures, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, well, good.
What's it a stepping stone to?
What's what?
You said it was a stepping stone.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, you're not going to do this for... I mean, girls don't have a shelf life like men do in the business. I mean, you have, like, your Manuel Ferreira, you know, all those guys. They can be in the business for 10, 20, 25 years. A girl can't. I mean, it's very rare. Maybe you have, like, a Lisa Ann or something. She's been in the business for a really long time, but that's so rare. Mm-hmm. You know, girls, there's so many new, like, 18-year-old hot bodies, like, just dying to get in the business that you eventually keep getting pushed out, because guys like variety. They want to see the newest, best thing, right? So, starlets get pushed out really, really quick. Porn stars get pushed out, and I'm going to say, you know, 5 to 7 years.
What are the medical requirements or restrictions, like practicing safe sex? Does everybody have to be tested all the time, or how does that
work?
They're
extremely strict on it, and actually they're getting more and more strict. Like, the company that I'm exclusive with, Bang Bros., like, I have to get tested every 7 days and condom only. You know, that's not an industry standard, but an industry standard used to be 30 days and without a condom. Every single person had to get tested every 30 days. And when you show up on set, you have, like, literally, like, this form, like, this piece of paper, and it has, like, a seal on it. And it's like, okay, you see mine, I see yours. Like, here it is. We can both sign off. The director has to sign off on it, the whole nine. And now, rumor has it, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it just went to 14 days for an industry standard.
So you sign an exclusivity deal.
Yes.
You're under contract to one company. Do you ever find yourself in free agency?
Well, this is the first exclusive contract I've had. I've been independent for most of my career, but I'm in contract now until next August. So thing.
Okay, so it's
only
a one-year deal?
Yeah, it's 1 year.
It's always year to year?
Yeah, I have an option. They wanted to do it longer, but I just wanted 1 year, 1 year at a time. Because, you know, I mean, what if I get in there and I hate it?
That's free agent market, man.
Right, you know, I get in there and I, right.
Well, if you don't like the way they operate, then.
Right.
That's what you're going with.
Right.
And that's interesting.
And it's for a minimum number of movies?
Yeah. Well,
like 100 or 50 or?
Well, like this one was 20.
Okay.
But I have the option to do more if I want. I don't have the option to do less, but I have the option to do more if I want. But what I did was I was like, okay, well, I want to knock all of these out as quick as possible. And then I have, you know, a good 6 months of my life, or a little bit more actually, that I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just done. I just made all my money for the whole year. Like, I'm done. I can do whatever I want. I can travel the world. Mm-hmm. I can go to college. I can study. I can go to seminar. I can just party my butt off if I wanted to. I can do whatever I want.
Do you get like every 2 weeks all year, you get checks?
No. Like, I get it all in one lump sum. Like, the minute that I do one, bam, I'm paid for it. But I also do, like, webcam. So, like, essentially, like, I'm not doing
any more
scenes.
Okay, so your contract isn't a salary. I'm sorry. It's,
no.
It's per film. And then if you do 40, you'll get paid double what your contract is.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Do you have a boyfriend or are you married?
No, I'm single. Not married.
Time?
But you date, right? You date.
You know what? I'm really, like, I don't know. I'm not really accepting applications right now.
Because I would think it would be a hurdle for a potential boyfriend when they find out what you do for a living. A lot of guys might have a problem with that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. But, you know, it takes a really, really special, very confident, secure man to be able to be with someone like me. And, I mean, there's so many, like, just things that they, you know, they get in it and they're like, oh, yeah, I think I can handle that. And then it gets further.
We can't use the S word.
My bad. But yeah, you know, so it's like this constant, like, kind of roller coaster, kind of up and down, and things are smooth one second and then they're rough the next or whatever. So it's hard, you know, and I have to be, you know, really understanding in that aspect. But, you know, you also have to have somebody that, you know, can stand up and be like, okay, well, I know what you're doing, and it is what it is. It's black and white. It's not like there's a lot of gray area there.
What's your real name?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay, but you're from here. And
yeah.
Burleson's own, yes.
I would just guess, you said where you went to high school. I don't understand why. In your community, you don't understand.
There's a lot of guys from Burleson High School who are now trying to figure
trying
out who
to
you are.
You do.
No, I don't hide what I do. I mean, if someone wants to look it up online and they want to really research it, go ahead, go for
Ty.
It. But
I don't.
It's more of a privacy and a safety issue as well. Like, my address has gotten out before, and I've gotten like not so okay mail and like shrines and stuff, and like it was just like really awkward things.
Shrines,
I mean,
yeah, because she's probably got a lot of guys like Ty who are a bit obsessive.
Yeah.
And so she's got to protect her identity.
I would say that most people that watch porn are pretty normal, to say the least. I mean, like, come on. It's pretty normal.
Oh, yeah.
But
it can't have a $5 billion industry just from the
right.
Just from the weirdos, right?
Right. But there are.
What are you looking at me for?
There are weirdos. And let me tell you.
Because you're a weirdo and I'm the normal.
Yeah, there are some weirdos, though. And when you come in contact with those, it can be scary. It's kind of like, oh, wow.
Now, there's a lot of unique piercings in your business.
Yes.
But she has, Rachel has a very unique one. Alexis actually pointed it out to us first.
Well, yeah.
The top sides of her forearms are pierced.
But not.
Not all the way through.
Yeah.
How does it, is the earring back inside of you? Or?
Well, there, it's called a dermal anchor. So it has, I mean, think of it like a boat has an anchor, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of curved up. Well, think of this, it like comes down like a T. And
sure.
It has two holes in the end, right? So they just pick up the skin, they hollow out, you know, a piece of meat in your skin, and they pop one side of that anchor in, and they twist it around and pop the other side in, and your skin grows around it and through it and holds it down, and there you go. It's permanent.
When did you... You're clearly a sexual person.
Yes.
Right?
To say the least.
So was it very early that you first became a sexual person?
Yes.
How old were you?
In fact, I can tell you, my research says...
I'm kind of interviewing her.
She first had sex with a girl at 13?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, with a girl? With
wow.
a girl?
Yes, with a girl.
Experimenting with a friend?
Yes.
Then when did we first bring boy into this?
Like a year later.
The age of 14. Is that exceptionally early?
It was really, really early. Yeah, it was early.
Okay. Did you come from broken home?
Like my parents divorced?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they divorced when I was 9.
All right. Did you have a father figure around or no?
Oh, me and my dad are like two peas in a pod.
Okay, because they might allege that that is something missing in the porn star's
my
life.
My dad
usually.
Is definitely not missing from my life.
Okay, that's all. Interesting.
I'm really close with all my family. I'm close with my stepmom. I'm close with my dad. I'm close with my real mom. I'm close with my brother. Like, I'm not, like, I didn't come from some horrible family with some nightmare, like, background. Yeah. You know, there was no drugs.
Were you abused as a child, sexually abused?
No, my parents aren't alcohol. Like, there's none of that. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say we were a white picket fence. I mean, every, like, family has problems. But, I mean, I went to a good school. I was in a good neighborhood. I have a good family on both sides. You know, like, that's such the stereotype of porn. And I'm not going to say that majority of girls don't come from that, because they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all of them. You know, and I just happen to be that small percentage that's not all of them.
Now, I don't know what the Oscar is in your industry, but have you won any awards like that for supporting actress?
I've been nominated numerous times, but I haven't won.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to bring up a sore subject.
So you've been to the awards show.
It's cool. I mean,
you heard on IFC. Right?
Yeah, I've been to IFC?
Yeah, Independent Film Channel. They run the awards ceremony? Yeah, they'll air that.
Oh, I don't know.
Do they rotate the site?
You're talking about AVN?
No. The Independent Film Channel.
It's a cable network that he's saying airs
the awards
ceremony.
It's
like HBO.
They air the AVN.
Yes.
That's always in Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
What's AVN stand for? Adult Video
Nominees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever have one role that you thought, man, I nailed it, and then you didn't get any credit for it? You didn't even get nominated?
No, you know, that's never been, like, a really big, like, thing to me to, like, get an award for it. Because, I mean, like, really, where am I going to take that award? It's like, oh, hey, mom and dad, or, like, hey, you know, future children, look what I got. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, to me,
it's just something to have on your resume so people like Meryl Streep can't turn up their nose at you, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Have you thought about that as far as future children? What might you talk to them about?
I'm just going to be honest with them. If I have them, I mean, I don't know if I will or not, but I mean, it's never been like a huge priority on my list. I've thought about it and considered it, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like honesty is the best policy. Just be real.
Have you worried about future job prospects? Like, let's say you want to get out of this adult business.
Never.
Overall. You're never going to get out of it?
No, I'm going to get out of it, but I'm not really worried about future job prospects of it.
Like, if it's someone that would be so uptight they wouldn't hire you because you were once in porn, you probably don't want to work there.
Exactly.
Are you being good with your money?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're making a lot, you might be able to retire, right?
Let me tell you something. Like, I save money like no tomorrow. That is one thing I've never had an issue with. I have perfect credit. I have money in the bank, no debt. Like, I'm
good,
on top of it.
Good girl.
Did I see you tweet that you're taking classes at college or something right now?
I'm looking to actually, like, right now, I went to Tarrant County College back in 06. And I took the Accuplacer. I passed, like, reading and writing with flying colors. I failed math so bad.
Well, that's tough for women, though, right?
47.
Don't they generally do a little worse on the
math?
I
made, like, a 47. Like, I just got the test results.
Well, you knew
back.
That number, so you're pretty good at math.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But I made a 47. I was like, man, that was really bad. So, like, right now, I'm, like, taking, like, I have a tutor or whatever that, you know, tutors me Monday through Friday, 2 hours a day on math. And then I'm going to take math in spring and, you know, retake the
Accuplacer. What do you want to major in? What do you hope to be when you grow up?
This is what's crazy is, like, I'm such a bookworm already. Like, I read so much and I'm like a seminar junkie. Like, I'm going to a Tony Robbins seminar tomorrow in Palm Springs. Like, I have a thirst for knowledge, right? I have no idea what I want to do in college. I just know I want to go and I'm like totally stoked about it. I guess right now just like get the basics and I don't know. It'll come to me. I don't know.
We'll probably get you hired on as a ticket chick around here.
Hey.
Yeah, sometimes when you go to college, you just want to figure it out.
We'll hire
you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just excited. Like, honestly, like, even having this tutor for math, like, you know, I'm brushing back up on my algebra and my geometry, and it's actually really fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, it sounds great.
It actually is. Like, back in the day, I hated it. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, who uses this?
And now you're paying someone to teach you.
I know, exactly, right? And it's not cheap having a tutor 4 days a week, 2 hours a day. That's not cheap. But anyways, I actually really like it. I get excited about my homework, and, like, I can't wait to go home and, like, figure it out, and then go, like, turn in the questions the next day, like, did I get it? You know?
No.
I like it.
Well, that's cool. I think we need to run along. So we want to all thank you very much for coming up here and spending two segments with us. You made ties.
Do you want to give out your Twitter name?
Oh, yeah. It's Rachel Star Triple X. So that's twitter.com / RachelStarXXX.com. RachelStarXXX.com.
I'm going to change mine to at Junior Miller Triple X.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like that. That's a nice touch.
Well, I mean, you're the. What did you say you were the porn?
No, him.
No, he. Yeah,
I'm
the
Pope
of
porn.
Yeah.
He's the Pope of porn.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you should just put like XXX behind your name from here on out.
Dan's like a cardinal of porn.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Ty's the Pope. He has a sponsored birthday every day.
That's right.
On the station.
Thank you, Mr.
For
G's.
A porn star.
That is awesome.
So.
Isn't
whose birthday
it?
Was it today?
It was Chasey Lane.
That's right.
Do you know her?
Really?
Do you hate
she
her?
The great Chasey Lane.
You ever work with her?
What? No, I haven't.
You ever work with like 10 dudes at once?
No, and I wouldn't.
You won't do that? That's
no,
not your game?
I'm not down at all. At all. Way too much work.
So.
All right, I don't know who's running this break.
I don't know either. All right. Thank you, Rachel.
I'm a yuck monkey. I'm not supposed to take it in and out.
5:15 on Sports Radio
33.
Thanks, Rachel.
Rachel
Starr, thank you very much.
Yeah. Rachel.
Good Lord, it's 5:25 on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket.
Isn't that weird? You and Ty on the same ship?
Yeah. It's a good thing we're not hosting a segment together, though. It is yours truly.
That's a good thing at all.
Rich Phillips, Dan McDowell, hosting with me for this 5 o'clock hour.
Yo, yo.
Craig Jr. Miller will have e-news for us coming up just moments away at 5:30 or some such. We thought we would mix in a little bit of sports here on your White Elephant Day, as we have not had much of that going on the show today. But we do have the Mavericks, the NBA, just about ready to start. Training camp's Friday, right? Y'all geared up? Everybody's ready for it, right? Friday training camp.
And I care more about December 25th.
Who is going to be there? Well, who's going to be at training camp? Who's going to be there December 25th certainly remains largely in question for the Dallas Mavericks, because they have several key players from last year's team, free agents, and the way their stance seems to be right now is, to me, it almost sounds like they're ready to give up on this shortened 66-game season, because
the Mavs are, or all the free agents that are talking?
The Mavs are. Because basically, it seems like outside of Tyson Chandler, they're not going to offer any of these guys more than 1 year. Because their goal is
what about Tyson Chandler?
And that's questionable whether or not they're going to or will offer him more than a 1 year deal, because the goal is for the first time in the history of Mark Cuban owning the team to be under the salary cap next summer when the big supposed free agent bonanza hits.
Which, boy, right now Cuban gets a pass on anything he does, right?
Sure.
Because of what?
Well, why shouldn't he?
What he has built. But it's funny because it feels like all the guys are now taking their negotiating game to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and the, you know, it's their right. The owners do this to the players, especially when it's the owners lock out the players and then the media portrays it as the players are just greedy and want too much money. You know, mm-hmm. The owners play this game too. So the players are just returning volley, I think. Interesting. Tyson Chandler, of course, did it already last week, saying, looks like I'm probably not going to be here.
Right.
Terry.
By the way, I don't think he's going to be here.
And that's
there's just too many teams that
very disturbing,
have the ability to offer him much more than the Mavericks want to.
But will they? Like, does Minnesota believe offering him $15 million a year is really going to be the key to everything? I think they'll be sorely disappointed, much like the Bulls were in Ben Wallace.
They have his
Tyson
price
Chandler
tag
fit here for something specific.
His price tag's been so raised by last season. Because he's the missing piece. He was the missing piece.
Here.
Right.
But is he? Is
you,
he
you parlay
the guy
that into convincing
around? Well, you know,
you can convince other teams that he was the missing piece, and this was why. It wasn't just that they needed defense; it was his presence in general. It was his professionalism. It was the way he went about things on a day-to-day basis. That's what they sell these.
I mean,
teams
adding
on.
Him to Dirk,
it certainly
is
helps.
Okay,
yes,
you know?
It certainly helps.
Well, here's another little piece. Very little piece.
The littlest piece, isn't it?
J.J. Barea has followed Tyson Chandler in his trip to the media, who says, it's not looking good here in Dallas, I don't think. I'm disappointing. I wasn't expecting this. Hopefully it gets better.
Hey, Griffin.
He says, and I'm going to take this as a direct quote. It's disappointing they're not going to do what needs to be done to bring back the team. I want to be come back. I think the fans want me to come back, but I don't. You get the point. The now there's the thing is, and Jason Terry has a quote because they kind of asked him about next year when you're a free agent,
because he's available every day to the media during these
his
unorganized
thing is,
workouts.
He says the exact same kind of thing. My focus is sign an extension because being the core of what we built to this point, I believe they want me here. If the extension is not done, that tells me something different. So it's all. Media-wise, we're throwing it at the owner like, hey, if he wants to keep this great championship team, then you know what he has to do. But if not, I guess that's his call then. And that's I just think this is the game. I do not like it. I do not like Cuban all of a sudden becoming fiscally responsible. But I'm an irresponsible fan.
I guess
I want everybody. I want the same guys back. I want more. I want, you know what I mean? You win a championship, like you're gonna rush to sign Rafe before he can make one visit. Yet you're gonna let Tyson Chandler go and shop his wares everywhere.
Don't you think they should take advantage of this very small window, and try to win another one? And
the window is small
because
Dirk makes the window small because of his age.
He is a once in a probably franchise's lifetime player.
Right.
And you finally got it right around him last year, and now you don't want to bring a lot of that back because you don't want to pay so much in luxury tax here in a couple of years, and you're trying to put all your eggs in the Chris Paul, Darren Williams, Dwight Howard basket.
And what are those odds?
And the odds are so long.
Right, because there's probably 12 other teams that are all going to be gunning for that, and they've already spoken about several other teams that they would be interested in being on. And the thing that surprises me, and maybe it's because we just don't know enough about all the differences with the new labor deal, but since when is the only way you're able to put together your team by being under the salary cap? The Mavericks have never been under the salary cap.
They've made a living of making trades and all they do. Contracts.
Yes. That, you don't have to be under the salary cap to make these moves. You go out and find a way to do it. That's the way it's been done in the past, and I'm assuming that ability is still there. And why suddenly, all right, who says you can't sign Tyson Chandler to the five-year deal this season, and then if you have a chance to get Dwight Howard, he's part of the sign-and-trade for Dwight Howard next year.
Yeah, because once Dirk's gone, who knows, you know? You see your team there in San Antonio at the end of a career, and who knows what's going to lie ahead until you get one of those guys. There's only a few of those. Tyson Chandler is not one of those guys.
No.
Dirk is. You know what I mean? Kobe is. LeBron is. Also, who he plays with, D-Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
But those guys is the guy to build around. And you use guys like Tyson Chandler and Jason Terry and whatnot to build around that. I agree with Junior. The window is small, and it's getting smaller. And if you wait till next year, it's even smaller yet, and it's not guaranteed.
And then what do you do if you get out there next year, and you've let Tyson Chandler go, and you don't get Dwight Howard, and you don't get Darren Williams, and you don't get Chris Paul, and Jason Kidd's not going to be on your team anymore because he's 100?
Well,
then what the hell are you doing?
Then you've got Mark
Cuban.
You've
got cap room to go sign
all of a sudden sounding like Tom Hicks in the sense that, well, we're going to be fiscally I don't want to hear that. I want to hear I'll do anything it takes to get another championship.
Hey, ask my Knicks about saving all that cap space for LeBron,
right,
who didn't want them. Didn't work.
No.
Well, they're fine.
There's some good, strong sports talk.
They got two superstars there, right?
On your white elephant day.
In the end, it worked.
5:33 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Rich Phillips, Dan McDowell, and our yuck monkey, Craig Miller, who has got e-news for us next.
We have a major Hollywood death that greatly affects Rich and me, and that's coming up next.
How do they leave the big name in the bunch off the liner? The reason people are tuning in. Here's an email from Fernando, who forgets an R when he writes, "Normalcy reigns tomorrow morning."
That's normalcy.
"As the Musers return to their rightful throne, tune in at 8:55 as the Football Hall of Famer Barry Sanders joins the guys."
See, keep reading that.
Why don't you play Barry versus Emmett and have him read the liquor spots.
Okay.
Oh, I tune in for that.
All right, how about a sponsor for this? We're doing e-news.
Totally. Autoflex and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Can you say the word totally in the right way?
Totes.
Here he is, the reason you've tuned in. The big name in this shift. He's been known in this market for nearly two decades. Craig Jr. Miller.
Or you can use my new nickname, the Junes.
The Junes.
The Junes.
I'm known as the Junes south of the Trinity, and I'm hoping that it catches on everywhere, even in white communities.
Hmm.
Very sad news leads E! News today, and Rich and I are taking this pretty hard.
Yes, we are.
At age 96, succumbing to pneumonia, the great Harry Morgan has passed away.
Sherman
All
T. Potter.
Commander.
Are we sure about this pneumonia thing? And
he's too young to
go, man. 96? I suspect foul play.
The commander of the 4077th Mobile Army Surgical Hospital.
Second best commander they ever had.
I was always a McLean Stevenson fan. I loved Henry Blake, but I also loved Colonel Potter. How could you not?
He had, well, first off, he had a much longer run because he was on, what, eight seasons?
75.
That's like saying Winchester was better than Major Burns.
Now, I'm not saying he was better. Boy, Colonel Potter had some fantastic moments and all his great references to horse hockey and bull pucky. And
would you like to hear some of them?
Yes, please.
Mule fritters. Buffalo bagels. Pony pucks. Beaver biscuits, bull cookies, pig feathers.
Has anyone taken in an episode of MASH lately?
Last night, as a matter of fact, I did.
Still holds up.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes. No question it does.
I think in particular the first couple of years with Henry and Trapper and Frank. Once Frank left, I mean, Frank was the ultimate foil. Frank was, in a lot of ways, the guy that the show revolved around. I mean, Hawkeye obviously was, but Frank, I mean, Frank made the show.
And they got too friendly later.
Yeah.
They kind of were friends and could respect Winchester.
And they got too into social commentary. And
now, he was actually on MASH once before he was Colonel Potter. He was a visiting general or something.
Yeah.
And he was doing an inspection, and he was real wacko, and they were trying, the uncomfortably named Dr. Spearchucker? Is that who they were trying?
Spearchucker Jones?
It was him, or it may have been somebody else they were trying, though, who was black, that they were charging him with insubordination.
Yes.
It was Hawkeye they were charging with insubordination, and they wanted him, the black guy, to come up and testify against him, and he said, but first a number.
Right.
Because he figured, it's in your blood.
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah. He thought he should just get up and dance and perform for them. Because it was in his blood.
All right, quick trivia.
Yeah.
The
black guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like the most racist thing ever.
Uh-huh, yeah. And they made it on TV in 1973, yeah.
I mean, they were showing...
The black guy whose name was Spearchucker?
Yes.
Right.
They were showing how ridiculous it was.
But then, like, a year later, he ends up being the replacement for McLean Stevenson when he left the show.
And do you know why McLean Stevenson left?
Hello, Larry.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello, Larry.
Well, that was a great career decision.
Which failed.
He got his own TV series, but it was such a bitter breakup between him and the producers of MASH. That's why they wrote the death. They wrote the, you are not coming back.
Mm-hmm. Because
you want to bolt off of this show? You will not come back.
Because Trapper John wasn't killed.
Right.
Trapper left.
He had a possibility.
The beginning of the next season.
In fact, that spun off into another show without that guy, though.
Which was always confusing.
Pernell Roberts played Trapper John, M.D.
But, yeah, that's very confusing.
With his sidekick, Gonzo.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's viewed as one of the all-time, what-was-he-thinking moves or career blunders,
and
along with the Ropers spinoff.
What's his name?
After 1 year of Three's Company, and they were number one, they spin off the Ropers after 1 year.
It was 1 year?
That's canceled after about three episodes.
Wayne Rogers did leave, though, and do a doctor show, didn't he?
Did he?
House Calls.
Yeah, House Calls. That's right. See, that's what made Trapper John really confusing to a young child.
See, I heard Wayne Rogers left because all the good lines were written for.
Correct. He didn't like being
Alan Alda.
Yeah, the second banana to Alan Alda.
Isn't that why you once left the Musers for like a week?
Because George got all the good lines.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Until you worked that into your deal.
Yep. Harry Morgan once said of his MASH character, Colonel Potter, he was firm, he was a good officer, he had a good sense of humor. I think it was the best part I ever had. In 1980, Colonel Potter earned him an Emmy Award as Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. It's a great loss. My favorite Colonel Potter moment of all time was when Frank got in the tank to impress Hot Lips, and Frank didn't know how to drive a tank. So Colonel Potter pulled his Jeep in front of the tank, which was out of control, to try to get Frank to stop, but Frank didn't know how to stop it. So Potter jumps out of the Jeep at the last second, and Frank steamrolls Colonel Potter's Jeep and keeps on going. And Colonel Potter walks over to the flattened Jeep, pulls out his revolver, and shoots it in the head like you would do a horse to put it out of its misery. That was so great.
That was hilarious.
All right,
I always thought my favorite episode was when he made a proposal to George Bailey. He was going to try and buy him out on Christmas Eve. Do you remember that?
What?
Hello?
Was he in It's a Wonderful Life?
No, just that guy's name was Potter. I thought it would be somewhat...
His other big role was that of Officer Bill Gannon in Dragnet. He was Sergeant Joe Friday's sidekick.
Never saw
one episode.
Really? How's that even possible?
Andy, he was in Dragnet the movie.
You and I are just a couple of years apart, but I feel like that's like a line.
Really? Dragnet?
Like I never...
You watch Adam 12?
Barely remember that. Might have been on a time or two after school, but I feel like there's a little two-year gap where your people know what those shows are, and my people... Like, did you watch The Dukes of Hazzard every Friday night, or were you a little too old?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Boat and Fantasy Island?
Absolutely.
Saturday?
Yes. Yep.
Dallas?
Yeah.
Yes.
Falcon Crest?
See, I look at you...
Notch
Landing? Absolutely. I look at you differently now.
That I don't know Dragnet?
And Adam 12.
Yeah. I watched Emergency a little bit of
loved
Emergency.
Loved it, yeah.
But like 1 year.
In other entertainment
news...
You were
an older, cooler kid.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2012 has been announced. And it includes the Beastie Boys, Guns N' Roses, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Donovan. Wow.
Wow.
That
I didn't realize he was
Donovan!
Involved in rock music at
Whoa!
All.
The late Laura Nero and the Small Faces / The Faces.
Okay. They've,
What?
With all due respect to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I have no problem with them in there. Really.
You're right.
But they've run out of... They're about to run out of choices, right?
What do you mean?
Because
they're
nominating
Donovan?
The Faces?
And these are inductees. These
What's
are
the
inductees.
Faces?
Yeah, these
oh,
are not...
These are
the guys that are in.
Well, I have an issue with Guns N' Roses being in there.
Okay.
I mean, their first album was landmark, was legendary. Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 was big. I didn't like it. And then it took them 25 years to get their next damned album out with God knows how many... position changes within their band. They've got a dumbass for a front man who does everything he can to destroy the band, and they have no place being in there.
Chili Peppers certainly deserve it.
Yes,
no,
I have no problem
question.
With it.
I would say the Beastie Boys certainly deserve it.
Do totally. They?
Really don't think so?
What they done
what they have,
the
like
80s?
A five-year run?
Yeah.
You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame if you were really good for 5 years?
Same all right, I take it back.
Well, why? Don't back off.
Is the problem that they're inducting too many each year?
I think
it was kind of like the Rangers Hall of Fame when they inducted five people in their first class and then immediately lost steam.
Right.
You're like, whoa.
And they haven't, like, won a year since.
Yeah, doesn't the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame require, like, five inductees or something like that? I saw that.
That's too many.
Totally.
They don't need to require any number of inductees. I think to be eligible, you have to have had your career started 25 years ago. But you can still be, obviously, still be active. Because most everybody, the majority of them been inducted, have been active still.
I'm going to look up the Beastie Boys resume for you guys, and I think you're going to be impressed.
I think
but
I'm not.
But I don't have time right now, because we have one more story we should get to. Did you hear about Alec Baldwin being kicked off an American Airlines plane?
Yes.
All right, so this is the American Airlines version. And they released a statement that reads... Since an extremely vocal customer has publicly identified himself as being removed from an American Airlines flight on Tuesday, December 6th, we have elected to provide the actual facts of the matter. The passenger declined to turn off his cell phone when asked to do so at the appropriate time. The passenger ultimately stood up, with the seatbelt light still on for departure, took his phone into the plane's lavatory. He slammed the lavatory door so hard the cockpit crew heard it and became alarmed, even with the cockpit door closed and locked. They immediately contacted the cabin crew to check on the situation. The passenger was extremely rude to the crew, calling them inappropriate names and using offensive language. Given the facts above, the passenger was removed from the flight and denied boarding.
You know how Rosa Parks had to take that seat to change a wrong to affect a... and it took years after that, but...
Rosa Parks?
Remember?
Hmm. Sure.
I believe Alec Baldwin may be doing this here. He may be the Rosa Parks of the ridiculous turn off your cell phone when we're...
It has nothing to do with the instrumentation
if you've ever
or
been on a Cowboys flight or a Stars flight. Or
I heard Bob talking about this the other day from being on the Stars charter.
You don't need.
Look,
there's no reason to.
I saw something
except for not to pay attention to them telling you how to put on your seatbelt.
And I saw something the other day that totally disputes all of that. And it's not just telling them you how to put on your seatbelt and all that, but so that you're able to pay attention if something goes wrong during takeoff or landing because it's the most dangerous time. But.
But why don't you put away your book then?
That's a good point. I flew on Virgin. I flew on Virgin America last month to San Francisco.
Whoa!
And yeah, wow. And
that's ironic.
During takeoff on a Sunday night, I was watching the Jets and the Patriots on TV on the airplane during takeoff.
And you didn't crash?
No, we did not. And it was on
everybody's
TV on the plane.
If
was
your
on.
Little phone could cause that plane to crash, planes would be falling out of the sky.
Yeah.
Like
I never turn
like
my
livers were for Walter
I
Payton.
Never turn my phone off on the plane. I will put it on airplane mode so it doesn't suck down the battery while trying to find a cell signal in the plane while you're in the air, but I never turn
off
my phone.
All hail Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
And that is E! News.
By the way, the Beastie Boys, 8 albums, 4 made it to number 1.
Not bad. They're not one-hit wonders.
They haven't had an album certified gold in the last 8 years.
Hey, break it up, you two. Break it up.
I'm scared.
It's 5:54 on the ticket. All right, so forgive me. They did refer to Junior in the liner.
The Junes.
I guess I just wasn't on board with it. It's not blazing into my brain yet. All right, so it's 5:59. Hello. It's me. And I would ask Lee Corso, don't you think, if you're listening, you probably know who I am. Ty Walker, who is making his way from ticker booth into mission control here. Of course, Rich Phillips, officially labeled as Yuck Monkey for
this
hour, but that doesn't really mean anything, right? You can.
I'm not contributing until 6:15.
We're just sitting around. It's like we're at a sports bar, right?
Campfire.
We're at a
Eating
campfire.
Wings.
Someone invited Fernando to the campfire, and he showed up.
Well, now I'm leaving now.
Well, the shocking part was that you showed up. We invite you to a lot of things.
Well, that's true, Dan.
But
I'm being paid to show up to this one, though.
Right. I guess if we give you an appearance fee, we might see you at a guy's night out.
Well, when you get up at 12:05.
Do you get up at midnight usually for the next day's show?
Yeah. 12:05.
What time do you go to bed?
9:15, 9:30.
All right, you're full of it.
No, I'm really serious.
You sleep 3 hours
a day? I will call you if you'd like.
You sleep for 3 hours?
No, I sleep in the afternoon, too.
Okay. All right, you got a weird. They probably need a camera on Fernando to check out his.
I like
you know
that.
What I mean? Like just a.
He rolls in here like what? 2:15?
About 1:30, 1:35.
So do you? Is it all primping and sprucing up for the hour and a half before?
Well,
you get
certainly don't have to work with my hair, do I?
Well, I don't know. Not one to talk, really. I'm not wanting to be anyway. So then, Junes has moved into the ticker booth. So be prepared.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm just trying to figure it out in here. Am I good?
I'll tell you what.
You're on.
You know how we complain about the equipment in here, Junes?
Yes.
What's wrong in there?
Sitting there for 5 minutes and you will not...
What's wrong in there?
It's like a radio museum.
This looks like the board from our college radio station.
It's unbelievable. I now...
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Yes,
on.
You are.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell. In fact, Junior, I had to type in a website on that right computer. Look at the keyboard and type in a website.
If you don't know how to type, you cannot yes. use that keyboard.
Yes. Not one letter.
I looked at it recently, and I think there are parts of about a dozen letters that you can read on that keyboard.
That doesn't bother me. I'm a pretty good typer. Typist? Typer.
Typist.
Typist. Typer.
Did you take the Mavis Beacon class?
And
what's that?
Did you take the Mavis Beacon class?
Did you ever have a typewriter, Junior?
Yes.
Sure you did. You're old.
I had a typewriter when I went to college.
I started with iPhone 3.
Ooh.
That was my first typewriter.
I took typing in eighth grade, and we had the manual typewriter where you had to reach up and slam the carriage across, you know, so you could keep typing. It's pretty impressive.
And and of course, my soulmate and cycle sister, Groobs.
Quit saying that.
I like it.
All right, so... In this segment, though, let's just take a temperature of the baseball winter meetings, which seems very exciting that it's in your town until you realize it doesn't matter, right? It could be anywhere, and we'd still be excited by the news. The fact that it's two blocks away is interesting, but I don't think that makes us get our news any faster when we learn it from Ken Rosenthal. And his bow tie. Does he wear the bow tie out there?
He does not.
Okay.
That's only for charity purposes on the broadcast.
Well, didn't he start doing that years ago as his bit?
No.
On the broadcast and then added the charity function when he saw how much he was... See, that goes... If you just go along with me, it sounds better.
I'm not going to go along with you.
Are you a P1 of his?
I think he's good. I think he has good information.
Okay, and his information currently?
Is that the Rangers are out on C.J. Wilson.
Dun, dun, dun. Is this a negotiating ploy for the Rangers to put this out there? Or are they really out on Siege?
Well, supposedly the Marlins are still in on him after signing Mark Burley.
Okay, so, yeah.
And the Angels...
Have we heard a lot from the Angels on this, or is that more from the CJ camp that the Angels are in on it?
Well,
the Angels seem to...
They had two meetings with him. The GM met with the agent. He had dinner with the Angels people. I think it's legit.
I just wonder how interested they are in him. I see the appeal for him to be interested in them. They seem to be pretty stacked in their starting rotation.
Well, supposedly they're trying to trade Urban Santana.
Boy, if they...
To make room for CJ.
I'm still amazed. I'm incredulous. I'm past tense incredulous, but still incredulous. About the Vernon Wells trade last year did so much damage.
Well, the Gary Matthews signing a few years before that also.
Yeah, but they ate that, and it wasn't...
But there's only so much of a contract you can eat when you get to Vernon Wells.
Every year they acquire a center fielder, right?
Yeah.
It started with Gary Matthews, then they got Torrey Hunter, and then they acquire Vernon Wells, and take a look at his numbers last year. You talk about cost per production ratio being out of whack. It had to be even worse than Adam Dunn, right? Just because Adam Dunn didn't cost nearly as much as Vernon Wells. But Vernon Wells had a horrible year. He came on a bit at the end, but the fact that they let, you know, Beltre go and then made the Vernon Wells trade.
And this is why they have to do something this winter.
But it just doesn't make sense that CJ would be that something to me.
Well, it gives them a pretty stacked starting rotation.
Yeah. Rangers still just rumored, or is it only because... of their past, like, wasn't it true when they got in on Beltre that kind of came out of nowhere? We weren't talking about that day in and day out
for
weeks.
No, not at all.
So
that was a pretty big surprise.
I think the fact that no one really says the Rangers are in on, like, Prince Fielder, except that you know they're in on something. You know what I mean? They've got their big TV contract looming. They, especially if they lose CJ, they're going to have some more money to spend. I just get this feeling that everybody thinks the Rangers are going to do something, but what is it going to be?
I think Nolan said something today about that he was trying to say they were out, but are you really going to believe him? I think, I'm with you. I think it's probably just negotiating.
I would believe Nolan a lot more than JD, though. I feel like Nolan sometimes throws the cards out on the table when he should be being a little deceptive, don't you?
I think he's pretty deceptive.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you think.
And I don't think in a bad way, I think in a business way.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I just never feel that out of Nolan. I always feel like he's too honest. You know, when he says, I think they'll win 95 games, I'm like, hey, let's lower the bar a little bit. But they continue to exceed his predictions each spring, don't they?
Right.
Well, now they don't have a chance to get Mark Burley. He goes to the Marlins, and I guess there's talk they might be talking to the A's about Gio Gonzalez, I guess.
There's always talk, too, about Matt Garza and the Cubs that supposedly they're open to the right deal for him. You know, Josh Hamilton comes out yesterday and says he wants to try to get a deal done before the season starts. He's in the last year of his contract.
Boy, that's a totally different animal.
You feel comfortable? You feel comfortable giving him 5-6 years at $18 million a year?
And would the Major League Baseball Players Association allow a clause that voided the deal? Should he slip up? I mean, there's a guy that they say can't even, because of his drug addictions and whatnot, his demons, they don't let him have a credit card.
His wife drives him down to get gas, and she puts the credit card in the machine.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
I like it.
Like the wife, if he's going to work the ballpark and she's planning on shopping or something, they will drive to the gas station together. She will input it into the, you know, into the machine, and then she'll drive away and.
She probably watches him drive away first. Make sure he's going in the direction of the ballpark.
And
not Lace.
With Johnny Nairn driving, right? Although, what's going to happen now that Johnny Nairn is a Brewer?
Well, I think Hamilton came out, yesterday and said he's willing to give it a shot to do it on his own, but he'll take all suggestions.
All right, this
willing
is just
to give it a shot. He's 30,
I know,
right?
I know.
That's a good point
he's
about
30,
this.
He's 30 years old, and
he is...
a father, okay? He's a husband and a father, and he's not 19 years old. Shouldn't we expect him to be able to run his life? I'm sure his kids are expecting him to run their lives, right? He's their father. It's mind-boggling
to me. It's an incredible story.
It is incredible to me that he needs a babysitter. I'm glad to hear that he's willing to give it a shot.
Well, you saw the one
as a 30-year-old male to run his life.
You saw the photos come out of the one night he gave it a shot
in Arizona
a couple years ago.
All right,
he's not like I can have a beer. He either has his shirt off and he's looking for Coke, or he's got his nose buried in a Bible. There's no middle ground for him.
This is just hot stove talk. But would you rather sign a guy like Prince Fielder and get Josh at a better price in a shorter term? Because that's a pretty big risk to spend 6-7 years on Josh at big money.
Yeah, it is. Do you trade Josh Hamilton?
Well, I don't think you can do anything until you know you have another bat in the stable. I mean, are they going to be in on a guy like Prince Fielder?
The Cardinals, they're saying now, are back in the lead for Pujols.
Well, and the Marlins
since
are coming
the Marlins
out,
are kind of backing off.
Yeah, Marlins saying they're not going to give him a no-trade clause.
You've already mentioned Burley went to the Marlins. The Marlins signed Jose Reyes yesterday. They've got Rich as embarrassment of riches, but also we've got what they got, H-Ram, and a controversy on whether he'll move to third or not, and he certainly is kind of a shell of what he was just a few years ago. It seems like they found he can't find a way around the HGH testing or something. It's good times. Winter meetings. Baseball. And there you go. 6:10. Do you like how that petered out? Rich is preparing.
It was great.
Preparing the next segment.
It
do they
excellent.
Have a tease for Community Quick Hits? How does this run?
I have a tease for Community Quick Hits.
Right.
The flow of information in the DFW Metroplex is about to come grinding to a halt.
All right, I have a question. Thank you, Alexis, for letting me do that ticker.
You're welcome. It was excellent work.
Now, I offered Alexis why don't you bring it out of the break and do all that kind of stuff? And she she declined. That's cool. But you're going to join us for this segment?
I guess so.
Because we're all switching jobs and stuff?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'm about to tweet this picture. I've tweeted one photo earlier. It was Groobs and a porn star. At Bracket Dan, if you care. I will not beat you down with tweets. But would you guys... All right, I didn't realize how quick that traffic was going to arrive. And I put my broccoli in the plastic container in the microwave for 3 minutes and walked away.
It didn't
And look what happened.
It destroyed it.
Melted the plastic container.
It didn't need 3 minutes, I don't think.
Would you eat that broccoli still, or has it been infected by melted plastic into it?
No, I think it's fine.
And I will be eating cancer, essentially.
It's fine.
What does it smell like?
Yeah, it smells awful is what it smells
plastic
like.
Plastic broccoli?
Ugh.
I don't know.
Okay, Ty, maybe this is a
think it smells okay because I like broccoli.
Well, see, okay.
Broccoli's
a wonderful
on your
side.
Food. It's, it's nature's colon cleanser, right? Alexis, would you eat that?
I don't know. I have a fear of toxins from plastics, so probably not.
Okay. All right. Done. I won't eat it. Now, let's do a sponsor.
Moet and Chandon Champagne and Texas Land and Cattle.
Everybody likes Community Quick Hits. Community Quick Hits. Community Quick Hits. Everybody likes Community Quick Hits. Community Quick Hits. Community Quick Hits. Guitar.
Today's host, the great Rich Phillips for Community Quick Hits.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Ty.
Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, Alexis.
Hi.
How are y'all?
Neat.
Totes, greats.
Well, information may not be flowing across DFW very well in the very near future. Because you know that they're about to close the Dallas main post office?
What, down
close it for
on,
good?
30?
Yeah, 30 over by Sylvan.
Why? It's always packed.
That's what you would think.
It is.
But the problem is...
Every time I've ever been there. Mm-hmm.
The Postal Service is losing like $3 billion. $23 million a day, they say, the U.S. Postal Service is losing in total.
The ticket.
I thought it's a public service, though. Are you supposed to really make money with the Postal Service?
Well, you're not supposed to lose money. It's not run... You know, they don't get their funding from the government. They survive off of postage.
I did not know that.
It is run as an independent agency.
Okay, I thought
from
it
United
was.
States government.
I thought it was a government.
It was
gift.
Originally,
you're
but
wrong.
It no, I'm right. It's been changed many years ago to where it's an independent agency and they survive off of postage. And among things they're looking to do is to get rid of about half of their 500 processing centers across the country, and it would close the Dallas processing center. And Fort Worth Processing Center would stay open. And so if you were going to mail a letter from here at the station down over to the new station at Victory Park...
It goes all the way to Fort Worth.
It would probably take 2 days to get there.
It'd probably end up costing more.
It might, yeah. 2 days to go a mile and a half, we determined it is, I believe, to the new station.
That's ridic.
And they're also talking about getting rid of Saturday mail delivery.
And I heard they were going to delay first class service. I think that something like that was going to be a cost-cutting measure, too. Somehow that was going to save money.
I have no idea of what you speak of, Ty, but please tell us more.
That's all I know.
All right, thanks.
I know they want to make stamps with more present-day people on them, like Lady Gaga and Justin
Expo.
Bieber.
Really?
Yes.
To help sell?
So more people will buy them and mail things.
So they won't think they're SG?
Exactly.
Because this is old.
Gay.
Yeah, this is old blank.
Buzz Aldrin.
What's this flag?
Right.
What is that?
Who's this woman holding a torch?
I buy stamps now that are they're good forever, too.
The forever stamp?
Yes.
Yeah. Me too.
That's a bad idea on their part, I think.
Yeah, because I was always having to buy the 2 cent guy.
Right. Now, doesn't matter.
Now that's choice.
And as often as I use stamps, I may still have some of those when postage rates like $1.80, and I'll still have the 43 cent forever stamp.
How much is a stamp now?
40.
Is it 43?
43?
$8.
$8.
Well, that's another report we have. Did you know that the U.S. Postal Service is the second largest civilian employer in the United States?
Second to?
Mark that under who gives a.
I have no idea. No. Over 574,000 people. They operate the largest vehicle fleet in the world with more than 218,000 vehicles.
I did not know that.
It used to be like it would drive you nuts, right, working at the post office. Do you feel they have lax standards now? Like, you used to kill people that was so bad.
They say you go postal
right.
on somebody.
It was cliche. But I haven't heard of anyone shooting up a post office in, like, two decades.
You'd think they would. They're overwhelmed, aren't they? Because they keep cutting back employees, although their volume is down so much.
What do you mean? There's not as much mail anymore?
No.
Just because of internet? And
right.
All I ever get is junk mail.
I mean, I've recently gone through the process of home selling and home buying.
Well.
Yeah. It's real impressive.
To see that contract.
Epic win.
Look who owns a home.
Right now, I do not.
Look at a homeless.
I do not own a home right now.
Well, a trailer is a home, right?
No. I sold my home yesterday, and I'm not buying my new one until Friday, so I do not own a home.
Where are you staying?
In my old home.
You know what you should do with that money?
I'm a renter.
Put that money on Google, like,
should
for
I?
2 days, just to see if it works. Like,
God, I logged on and looked
like
at the check. I logged on and looked at the checking account yesterday, and I was like, holy cow. Because the money I got out of the sale is sitting in there. But I got to turn it all around Friday. But anyway, the guy, the mortgage broker I'm working with to buy this house.
I know a guy who did that.
Your family can live in an efficiency, and you save all the money.
That's not the point of where I'm going, okay?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
The mortgage broker is up in Flower Mound. Never met him. Never been to his office. Everything has been done via email. For the whole, even, you know, when you got to sign documents, print it off, sign it, scan it, email it back.
That's awesome. What I'm talking about.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's the way of the world now, isn't it, Alexis?
Yep, sure
email
is.
Me. We should chat in a chat room sometime.
Skype.
Chat Are there chat rooms
chat room?
Still?
I don't
Are
think
there?
So.
Just 1998?
No? I want to go in a chat room.
Hey, have you heard about
like-minded
the,
folks.
Have you heard about the Peeping Tom from Plano?
Alexis?
Is that the
hello,
Plano
hello.
Changing room guy?
Yes.
Changing room guy?
The one that Junior said you couldn't got a better shot at Olin Mills.
Unbelievable, the picture they have. That's the picture they have of him
right.
from his own camera that he stuck in a family changing stall.
Guy's he took a picture of himself on
yeah,
his,
with his own
He was
video
setting
camera.
It up. He's setting up this video camera in the changing room and he had it on.
The guy's a genius.
And it took a pic and he had perfect pictures of him. 43-year-old
you know,
Christopher Ferber
is
his name.
The thought of getting caught part of the fun of this? Because I always wonder this when even Tom will tell us, oh, you should have seen the Tampa Bay Ice Girls. They're so hot. It's like a camera in a changing room seems very boring when you should see what's available to you online. If you're into naked people
uh-huh.
and activities like that, there is plenty available for you that would be way better quality. And
you don't want to have coffee with him, Alexis.
I'm just saying there's
he's
way
got wet
more,
ones over here.
It just seems that the setting up of the camera, it must be the fear of getting caught setting up the camera that's part of the jazz, the excitement.
Thrill.
Did you say his name was Ferberger?
Ferber. Christopher Ferber. He was...
gotcha.
Poor kid probably turned to this because he was made fun of like by bullies like
that's
Junior
right.
for his whole life.
So he had this camera he set up in the family changing room at Plano's Oak Point Recreation Center. And it captured a. It was the
Although
right
family
before.
Family changing room. Maybe he's more into the.
I don't think so. There was a children's swim tournament that was about to start there when he did this.
Ew.
I'm saying oh. maybe he's more into that. That's
oh,
why
the
you're
on
younger
the Sandusky
training.
Side of things.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to get caught with that on his computer because internet child porn.
I don't know.
So he set this device up. It captured a 10-year-old girl changing out of her swimsuit after the meet. And then her 4-year-old brother is the one who accidentally discovered the camera. The thing was disguised as an air freshener, and he knocked it off the wall.
Boy.
But, yeah,
my
on
kids
the camera,
would also have disguised that, because they break everything.
And they also
and
examine...
just rip everything off the wall.
They
yeah.
examine everything in a public restroom, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, first off,
like
your kids...
touch everything, and you're
yes,
telling them stop
yes.
it? Yeah, yeah.
And they always have
They're
to go to
everything.
The public restroom, don't they? Are your kids
my
inspectors?
My kids... never don't go on the road. Like, just being anywhere on the road, they enjoy sitting down and just, we play I Spy, and they, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And I am obviously just the opposite. I think as you grow older, start to be more aware of who else has sat there.
Police now fear that Mr. Ferber has other cameras elsewhere.
What do? Alexis, hover in a public place if you have to go?
Yeah, that or make sure there's a lot between myself and the actual seat, yes.
Bottom.
Do you check for cameras?
No, but actually, I have an interesting story about that. We think we may have found some possible peepholes in the women's restroom up here.
Here? Really?
Yes.
From the men's side?
No, it kind of goes back behind... it's
to the
in the last stall. No, I don't know where it goes. I think it goes back to nothing, like a wall where it's kind of between storage and the elevator. And there's a couple holes in it. They were filled with putty, and then one day they were not.
Mm.
Yes. I know. What? So I don't go in
leading
that stall anymore. What's that?
Leading to the stall?
Well, they were right near the toilet. I mean, it would have been a good vantage point.
What percentage of the world is a creep?
Like 95,
I think it's a very small percentage. No,
no, I think
like,
it's very high.
Dude,
really?
I sat here going through these community quick hits.
You don't feel like the guy putting the peephole to see a girl go number one isn't a very... Don't you hope, Junior, that that's an infinitesimal...
Well,
yes,
we have the McKinney. We have the McKinney chiropractor arrested for more sexual assaults, okay? Are
Again,
you sure?
One guy, well, and how many people live
we
in
We got
McKinney?
Jerry Sandusky on the show already.
That's what
today.
Makes news the bad news. All
right.
There's
right.
A lot of good people in the world. You're just hearing about the bad
we
people.
We had a porn star in studio, for God's sakes.
What? And that's bad?
For two segments.
We're talking about drilling a hole in a woman's potty compared to... consenting adults just, doing instructional video.
I don't know if they're instructional videos.
Is that her job description that you were reading?
What?
Dan?
Yes. The instructional video person that was in studio?
Yes.
What? Why have we just stopped down?
I didn't know if you were talking.
That.
I didn't
what
know
did
if you were.
Just say?
I have no idea what he said.
How did this happen? I didn't know if you were talking about what Alexis was describing, or if you were describing our guest's occupation.
Putting holes in things. Is that what he said? What did he say?
Never mind.
Yeah, we're gonna have to roll that tape.
You had to be there.
I guess so. All right. 6:32.
Oh, all right. That's it. Community quick hits.
Yay!
Rich. So they're not
That's
filled with putty now?
I don't think they are, no. I don't go in that stall
Let's go
anymore.
Inspect.
I can go look.
Let's do that. We'll report on that, whether or not you can see through the... In fact, we'll go do a lookout. We'll go look in there together.
Okay.
You go to the other side.
Hey, Dan.
Ty?
It's 6:40 on the ticket. Groobs wants to give you a cool gift basket. Log on now to theticket.com for your chance to win a World Beer Company customized bucket just in time for the holidays. So.
You're welcome, P1s.
Get with Groobs about beer.
All right. The time is 6:40, as you said. That's the 40 liner. It's the white elephant. We're kind of wrapping things up. Rounding home. Or excuse me, rounding third. Huh? Why would you round home and head
round
home?
You
start slowing down when you do that and walk the dugout.
And Fernando, just producing the heck out of this thing this afternoon. Let's all give him a big hand. Fernando, Mike Fernandez.
Thanks, Fernando.
Thank you, Dan.
No one's ever seen him in public before, but after the hours.
And never will.
He's still coming off the low of that MAC championship.
Oh, my goodness.
Fernando went to the real OU.
As you did.
Roommates?
We were roommates.
I wish.
We lived in one of those four-person rooms, you know, two on each side of the bathroom. And
it's fun.
I lived with Richard Dean Anderson.
Sure you did.
And you lived with Peter King.
Up close.
Right. And we all shared one
Matt
hustler.
Matt Lauer, really.
We had the one hustler in that bathroom. Did you guys ever have that?
No. That's disgusting.
The community hustler? Look,
no.
In college, things are different.
MacGyver really went to...
Yes.
Ohio University?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Really?
Matt Lauer also.
Nice.
And Peter King.
And Peter,
Peter
King.
And
did John Feinstein go there?
Whose son is the quarterback?
Mickey Tettleton's son.
There you go.
Nice.
Tyler Tettleton, yes.
He is the quarterback of the Bobcats as we speak.
Mick the Quick.
All right, but Fernando suggested, why don't we touch on this story a little bit more? I had it in a ticker, which you guys can keep, by the way. Not interested in.
You don't want to do tickers for a day?
I feel like it's the hour is almost too much work. Major League Baseball has become the first professional sports league in North America. It says major sports league, so maybe there are minor leagues that already have dress guidelines for media members, which happens to affect the ticket greatly, I would say.
You think?
Yes.
As we're
trying to
had,
say about our staff.
Well, first of all, they've already kicked TC out of the room for
that
other things.
Wasn't dress code,
but. It would have been for dress code. Actually, this seems to be more, if you ask me, this is more of a reaction to the female.
Yeah, I was surprised.
The female reporter, who is, in my estimation, often, I don't know, okay. I don't want to throw you all under the bus, because Emily certainly is not in this category. But there is a faction of female reporters in the United States that are like fishermen who are driving their boat back and forth very slowly.
They're trolling.
Apparently had that problem in Miami.
They're fishers of men.
I have seen it. I have seen it with my own eyes. You've seen a. I'm sure Tony Romo is absolutely in love, and I'm sure it just happened to happen that way. But maybe that's if you look at, I wonder what the percentage is, because I know a couple people from Cleveland who landed their husbands in the Indians locker room because they were hots and former Miss Ohio's and they got into the sports world, the weekend sports chick, you know what I mean? The reporter.
Right.
And before you know it, they're married to, wow. They didn't marry the utility guy who was on the bubble? You married the first baseman with the new contract? Interesting how you found him much more appealing than this guy no one's ever heard of. But it's happened way too often for it to be just, right? Just to be nothing, I think. Does anyone agree or disagree? Like I said, I don't think Emily Jones was ever in there looking for a husband. I'm telling you, though, there's a good number of women out there looking for professional sports husbands, and they're using the media as their stepping stone, their entrant into the locker room. Now they have separated themselves. They're not one of the girls outside the stadium. They now have a real job.
You can blame this partly on the media outlets, because you look at what happens at Media Day at the Super Bowl, and you see all the hots that they send out there because they know that the players are going to talk. Well, I mean,
Media Day at the Super Bowl is a different animal. That's for bits.
But these companies,
they're talking about the girl that got whistled at in the Jets locker room.
But
wore the tight the Hispanic lady. Remember her?
Inez Sainz. But don't you think
they're aiming it at her, who is wearing the low-cut top and looks much like Rachel Starr did. Like, she looked fine in here, but she looked very risque for the workplace. But if Rachel Starr walked in daily to the Yankees locker room or every day at Jets practice, well, she's going to be noticed. And you're right. The guys will flock to her.
Absolutely.
So not only will she get all the interviews she wants, but she will also have her black book filled up with possible single men.
You don't think they're just trying to stop Ty Walker from wearing flip-flops?
Who also happen to make millions of dollars.
That, too.
That's not what they're aiming at, Ty?
They're aiming
me flip-flops.
And get rid of my flip-flops.
I don't think so. Because banned, so this is all in writing now. Major League Baseball put this in writing. Sheer and see-through clothing.
There you go, Rich.
So tell us,
what am I going to wear?
Guilty. Tell us if these things are aimed at Ty or at the hot
or
looking
Inez
for a husband. Ripped jeans.
Tie.
One-shouldered strapless shirts.
Rich.
Tie.
That's my wrestling outfit I wear.
Your singlet?
Yes. Or clothing exposing bare midriffs.
Tie.
Oh, that's me. That is so me.
Excessively short skirts.
Tie.
Dresses. Mm-hmm.
I call it a kilt.
Or shorts cut more than 4 inches above the knee.
Tie.
Daisy Dukes.
I don't believe anywhere in here is a list on flip-flops or...
There is a flip-flop
band. Oh, is
there? Yeah, but 95% of that is aimed toward the female.
They're going to catch some backlash for this, aren't they?
Absolutely.
The women's rights group is going to come out about this, aren't they?
They're going to say it's targeted toward...
Are women's rights groups really on board with the hot reporter trying to land the millionaire?
Well, didn't they supported Inez Sainz when
it was all...
That's
what this is all about. It's the hot reporter trying to snag a millionaire. They're just trying to make it a little tougher for them. So women's rights groups will be on board with it because it evens the playing field.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because all those rules that you just read,
they want
specifically
Jen Engel to have
target
the same shot.
Women.
Yes.
Sorry, I talked over that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I only said it for Ty. Anyway.
But everything targets women on there. That's why I think they're going to get some backlash for this.
But I don't think they'll get anywhere because this isn't a...
It's not
your right to be able to go into a Major League Baseball locker room, right?
They can set all the rules they want.
True.
They can. That's a private business.
It's their business.
They have the right to set the workplace rules.
Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Does it ever make you uncomfortable with women in the locker room, especially when things are flopping?
It makes me uncomfortable me in the locker room when things
because
are flopping. I think that should be a...
They need to have a press conference room for everything.
I know there are deadlines and all that, but they should have a press
conference room set up.
Bring
everybody out to where Wash does his post-game thing, and we're all good.
Because the players don't want you in there.
No, and you shouldn't.
Because think about it in the reverse.
It's antiquated because it was done in the day of the newspaper deadline, and you're on a train to your next place, and... You know, it's very antiquated. Just, somehow they need to bring this up to where we are in modern society.
I mean, think about it in reverse. Do you want to go if we had a WNBA team and cover their locker room, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Would it make you uncomfortable?
Again, I don't need reverse. I don't like seeing whatever dude's junk hanging out in front of me either. I know Ty's not against that as much.
No, of course not.
No.
But, it's just a very odd system, and you know, we used to have a reporter that worked here at the Ticket before any of us worked here.
Hey, Chief.
No. It was a female, and it was before I even worked here.
I think I know who you're talking about, but go ahead.
And she was had a reputation for looking.
She was a
but sometimes
blank,
how can you help
blank
it?
Watcher?
No. She
like
had a reputation of always seeking out to interview the guy who.
Was towel-less?
And would be maybe in a group setting, too, and have the microphone held up here and the eyes straight down.
But again, how can you fault her? What if you were in the, I don't want to use the WNBA because it doesn't seem like there would be anyone that would draw your attention. But maybe it's Monica Seles. You're in the locker room there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have your eyes straight ahead?
Oh, yeah, straight ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're only human. Of course I'm going to look down.
Right, she's only human. All right, well, there you go. That's new Major League Baseball rules that really will affect very few people listening, right? Does anybody really care?
I do.
We did the segment for Ty.
Yes, and I A+.
We've all wondered,
score.
What does Junior Miller have in store for us on the final ticker of the day? Find out next. Wow.
I want to go screenless in a ticker.
I woke up today at 5:30 and made it a point to listen to every moment of the Ticket's White Elephant Day. And so I thought everybody could go around the room and talk about their favorite moment. Okay, I'll start. My favorite moment, I listened to every hour today. Do you guys remember when... Craig Miller took phone calls during a ticker.
Yes.
And then they reported at the... It was funny.
That was awesome.
That was my favorite moment of the ticket day.
I'm flattered. You know, I'm not going to say it was my favorite moment, but I do admit it was groundbreaking.
I understand. Someone said Gordo was even funny today. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah. What else? I heard Corby pranked TC.
Yes.
Yes.
Must be like playing a second grader in one-on-one basketball. I'm sure pretty easy to do. Ty, was your favorite moment the porn star that you had up here?
Yes, it fulfilled a big fantasy. Hmm. Now, later tonight, we'll fulfill another fantasy.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Talk about your material.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody has that in their head now.
Can't wait.
Good luck getting to sleep.
I enjoyed Donovan giving me tips on where to find good meals south of I-30. That was in a ticket ticker.
In a blicker.
Oh, yes. That was, that was what we had at the end of his shift was a blicker.
How about you, Fernando?
I enjoyed your tickers, Dan.
Oh, wow.
A little off the beaten path, but I enjoyed them.
That means he didn't listen to anything on the show all
Pretty
day.
Pretty much. I wish I hadn't.
And we've all been waiting to hear from him. Tweet groups.
I think my favorite part was any time I looked up and I saw you.
Wow, that's either sweet or gay.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah, what's wrong with both, sweet Fernando? Or gay. Why do we have to live under the judgment of Fernando all the time? Or
just
did you get your opportunity, Rich?
What's that?
I don't remember. Did you get your opportunity?
Yes, I said that I enjoyed Donovan telling me where to go find something to eat south of I-30. Thanks for listening
to the
show.
Dan, I know.
I was looking ahead. I was to what's coming up on the show tomorrow. Are we all going back to our regular shifts, or are we happy with what? Are we just kind of going to stick with this from now on?
I'm with Junior, by the way, that you guys were talking about at the beginning. I hate afternoons.
Oh, me too.
Just hangs over your head all day that you got to go to work. Give me. I look forward to being back at 5:30 tomorrow morning.
Really?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Can you actually look?
Can
forward
we do a
1 minute
ticker at 5:30? I'll really look forward.
What time
to
did you wake up today?
I second that.
When did you wake up today?
Probably 6:45, 7 o'clock. The wife was up and getting the kids up to go to school, and I woke up. But you realize, I mean, 6:45, that's 3 more hours. And I went to bed at 10:15, like I normally do.
Did you do anything special, or are you going to, for your anniversary today?
Not that I know of. No.
AP. Like, how long have you been married?
15
Do you even
big
give her
ones.
A gift?
Maybe.
Mop.
What's the 15th?
Yeah, what's the 15th anniversary?
Well, you know, I didn't even look it up to see. I have no idea.
Let me Google that.
You got to get a card.
Did that.
Flowers are always nice.
You should get a babysitter for Cletus and Spartacus and take her out.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's that?
God. Not nice.
You sure did. Let's see, 15 years. The modern gift is watch.
What? Get her a watch.
The traditional is crystal.
So she gets to watch.
No, a watch, not two watch.
Get her a coffin.
It's the
you
coffin
just watch. Tonight you watch. Gift of love. All right, so
tell Rachel happy anniversary from all of us here at the table.
I'll be sure and do that. Yeah. She was very excited to know that on our wedding anniversary, I was interviewing a porn star by the same name.
Yeah,
Rachel.
I bet.
You talked to her about what you're going to do on the show
everything? She was listening. I didn't tell her.
Oh, see, that's bad news. Wives listening, or nothing good can ever come
out. Tell me about it.
All right, well, thank you, everybody. Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you. What's coming up? What do we do here? Do we promote what's coming up?
10.
Do we hear the hardline theme? Or when do we break, Grooves? You haven't given me any
Don't
direction.
Know when Evs.
Fernando is not produced now. Yeah. All right.
Doesn't matter.
In the show.
Well, thanks. I'll be on at noon tomorrow, noon to 3. And we have a lot of good stuff, like Homer Call and stuff. So tune into that. Party.